Hello, everybody, and welcome to our case study call for what's the month? January. Brand new month, brand new year. I want to welcome you all here. I'm excited to have you here. And I'm looking forward to some lively interaction. I know Michelle had submitted some cases, and I don't see Michelle. So we're going to wait for Michelle to come on before we go over her cases. So instead of starting right out with a case, I'll just share a couple of things and ask you guys if you have any questions about anything. I was very excited by a Facebook Live I just did. So if you didn't watch it, go ahead and watch it with Joel Kahn. He is a kick in the pants. He is just so funny. And he's a cardiologist, and he basically says, plants, not stints is his new motto, because he's done over 10,000 stints. And he said they just don't do the job unless there's a real serious emergency. And he's been teaching people doing functional testing and plant strong diet and having amazing results. So we just had a blast. We just had so much fun on an interview, and we're going to download it and put it on YouTube and create a blog post from it. I also am going to invite him back to do an ACR that we really go into, you know, like all the testing he was talking about. The latest module on circulation and respiration has that, but maybe not in as much detail as he can go in. Like, we can't spend a whole bunch of time on that. So I'm going to invite him back. What do you think, Janine? You were on that. Do you think we should invite him? Yeah. Yeah. He was very good and very entertaining, and it's great when you can make that. And I went to my husband and I looked for an ear crease, and, he has a slight one, and I told him about the test and that Medicare will cover it free. And so he's excited about doing the test just to make sure. Cause he has, you know, his parents had one died of a stroke and the other died of heart attack, well, he actually didn't die of a heart attack. He had multiple surgeries and then he died of something else, but, he had serious heart problems in his family. So, and that LPA, you'll learn about it. I think that module should have gotten released for those of you who are in mastery, already, or who have been in the program for a while. It's because it's way up at module 30, I think. And I think we put it out today. I have one more section to finish editing and recording. But those of you who are new, you know, you're just starting out. We're not going to start you out with module 30. You'll be overwhelmed, right? So you'll start out and get the basics and the foundations. Because, you know, when you get to module 30, you start talking about things as if you already know them, which you will. Or you'll be able to go back and go, yeah, I learned that in module 17. Let me go back and review that. Okay. So, lots to learn and lots of amazing stuff that you can be doing with what you're learning. And you don't have to wait till you're up to module 30 to be able to really take this stuff and put it into action. Every time you learn something new, you can go out and apply it. Find somebody to apply it to. Find somebody to talk to. I just learned that thing about the ear creases and that test. I immediately went to my husband and we're going to do it, right? So just take the stuff as you learn it and apply it where it's necessary and where it makes sense. And you're just going to keep expanding. But here's what I'm going to tell you, because I hear this all the time. I don't know enough. I don't know enough. I don't know enough. You already know more than most of the people that need your help, right? And whatever you don't know, guess what? Come here and ask. Look for it in the modules. If you need module 17 before you get through module 6, because you have a client that needs it, we'll open it for you, right? We're not going to keep it back. It's all there. We just don't want to overwhelm you by giving you 36 modules at the same time. That would be a bit overwhelming, because those of us like me with a little ADD about this stuff would be like, oh, let me check out that module. That looks interesting. Oh, let me check out that, and never finish any of them, right? So it'd be really cool if you just go through it. But if you have a need to know, right? Like suddenly you've got this client or family member that got this blood test back and you're like, I don't know how to read this yet. Let us know. We'll open up the blood chem. Put the numbers into the blood chem software, because that's going to be like one of your best teaching tools, because you just click on the things that are abnormal. You don't have to learn all of it at once. You click on the things that are abnormal and it tells you everything you need to know about it. So it's really cool. And so I'm not trying to spoon feed you. I'm trying to get you go at your own pace. I think it was it Louisa or was it Mahela? I saw up to module 5 or 6. And I'm like, wow, she just started a month ago and she's up to module 5 or 6. Holy cow. Like, this girl is booking it, right? So pretty cool. I want to open this up. So if you have questions, we're starting a new year. First of all, I'll just tell you a little bit of stuff that's going to be happening this year. We're starting this new series and it's starting tomorrow. Whoops, I got to create that tonight. Whoops. We're going to be going through the foundation. So many times I hear people get on Facebook or they're doing stuff and go, I have a person that has this. What should I do? Right? We're always going to start with the foundations. The client may already have a lot of the foundations in place, but if they don't, you've got to get those balanced. If they're stressed to the max, you've got to give them tools for that. If their diet is, you know, full of gluten, dairy, sugar, and all kinds of stuff, you've got to work on that while you're looking at what's the more advanced stuff I could do for their cirrhosis or their hypothyroidism or whatever else. Yeah. So you've got, but the basics, I gave you a talking to a little while ago, Janine, about, well, I still do gluten sometimes. Honey, you got Hashimoto's and cirrhosis. No, cut it out. Right? So a lot of times we're looking for, as they say, the zebras instead of the horses, right? When you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras. When you've ruled out that it's a horse, then you can go and figure out what to do about the zebra. And that's basically what we a lot of times do. We're looking for the fancy stuff when you can get somebody feeling 80% better in 2 weeks. Now that last 20%, you know, as Janine and some others will find, that last 20% takes a lot longer than the first 80%, right? Because you're fine tuning and trying to get everything in balance, but you have the tools. So what we're going to be doing is once a month, we're picking one of the foundations and we're going to teach you all the tools you have that you can use with your clients right away. This is what I mean by you can do the stuff right away with your clients. First one, we're going to do them in the order of, so they spell freedom because we call them the body freedom foundations. And first one is, guess what? Fun. Now, wouldn't it be unique if a client comes to see you and instead of you telling them, don't do this, don't do that, do this, 14 hours of exercise a week, blah, blah, blah. You said, okay, we're going to start with fun because you really need to have fun, right? You don't have to start with fun, but imagine what that will do to the relationship you have with them. And then they just start adding some of these 5-minute fun things, which is actually part of stress, but we pulled it out, right? Because it's de-stressing to have fun. So we're going to start with fun. We're going to go to rest and relaxation, sleep. We're going to go to exercise. We're going to go to environment. We're going to go to diet. We're going to go to outlook. And we're going to go to mindset. And do all of those. Now you can do them in whatever order. I used to have them in a different order, but some business coach said to me, wow, wouldn't it be nice if those words could spell freedom? And I went, oh, how can they spell freedom? Stress and this and that and the other thing. And then we sat with it and went, oh, wow, we got it to spell freedom. So anyway, it helps you to remember them too. So we're going to go through that once a month. It'll be a teaching call followed by question and answer. It's all about how to apply this stuff. You may know a lot of the stuff that's in there. I hope you know a lot of the stuff that's in there. If you don't, you're going to learn some stuff. But they're tools, right? They're little tools that you can use with your clients to go, oh, let me use this fun inventory. Download the piece of paper that I have that says fun inventory. And you say, here you go, right? And these are things you're welcome to use and we'll make sure they're, you know, it's set as done for you. So we're going to be doing that. What else? The retreat. I hope you guys can make the retreat. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be here in Austin, close to home. It's going to be at a place called the Ancient Yoga Center. And it's a beautiful, very tranquil, peaceful place. It's on the property of a Buddhist. Is it Buddhist or Hindu? Hindu? Hindu. I remember Buddhist, Hindu. I don't know the difference. A Hindu temple. And it's just gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. There's some places, hiking trail, and we're doing it in May. So we'll be able to actually hike on those trails. We had planned some outdoor activities. The last time we did it, we were going to do one of our things in a circle out on this beautiful trail with this grotto. And it was March and it was cold. We had a sudden cold spell, so we didn't do it. We didn't get out. So I want to create as much of that as I can. So that's going to be May. What is it? What is it? The 14th, 15th, 16th, 16th, 17th,
18th. It's the weekend after Mother's Day.
It's the weekend. So it starts the day after Mother's Day. 2 days after Mother's Day.
If you come for the,
Oh, no, it just starts that Friday. So it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
No. Saturday, Sunday, right. Monday. Friday is the Practice Accelerator Mastermind Day. and then Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So it's the week after Mother's
Day. So it's the 19th, 20th, and 21st of May.
There you go, 19, 20, 21. What we're going to do, and what Lynn was talking about right before it, is Laura Fine. Some of you met her at Shine. Some of you know of her. She does transpersonal energy healing. And we're going to get you more information about her. And we're going to do a little webinar with her so you get to meet her and find out if this is something you want to do. But what we find is that sometimes we're doing all the right things. We're giving them all the right things to do, and they're not getting better. And sometimes there's energy block. There's a mindset block. They're not able to comply. Like, what about you give them all this stuff and they're not doing it? Oftentimes there's an energetic block. And she has this amazing process. So she's going to do a 3-day event there. It's part of a 7-module certification that you can do. I wouldn't recommend necessarily doing it now while you're doing this, but, cause it'd be a lot of work, but you might. But some of the people in the program have already gone through a lot of her stuff. So they're going to be able to do that. But this one section is just, she calls it the awakening. So it's how do you connect with people in a way that helps you to influence them to actually do what you're telling them to do. So that's going to be 3 days before. What were those dates? 12, 13, 14, 14, 15, 16, something like that. So we'll be getting you I want you to mark your calendars now, but we'll be getting you the info to actually say yes or no, I'm coming or not coming or don't know yet.
So that would be Tuesday the 15th, 16th, and 17th. So it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah. Friday the 18th is the Practice Accelerator Retreat Day, VIP Day. And then, Saturday. Yeah,
after that. Put it on your calendar. Plan as best you can if you can make it. It would be awesome. Those of you who have been to the retreats know they're life-changing events.
Well, I have just, this place is amazing. It has such a magical energy to it. There are these trails that have like little stops, and there's one in particular that just really attracts me. It's in a circle and has these peacocks in a circle, and it just, the whole place just has a vibration that it will call to you. It will bring you, it will tell you more about yourself. So you combine this place, and there's real live peacocks there.
I was going to say, there's real live peacocks too.
Yeah. And there's a little stream, the wildlife, the flowers and everything. It's just, it's so hard to believe. It's just right outside of Austin proper.
It's like a half an hour from my house. It's just right outside. Yeah. Yeah, and it's close to the airport. It's like 20 minutes from the airport.
Yeah. So I can't recommend it enough. And having taken Laura's training, and I know some of you, as part of a bonus, are doing one of her courses now, can kind of relate to what she shares.
Yeah.
So. And it will help you, which then in turn will get you to help be of more help and support to your clients.
Right. Thank you. Everybody's unmuted. Nope. Cool. Yeah. So thank you. I just want to do that. So anybody have questions or comments? I don't see Michelle. Did you check in with Michelle that she was going to be here? So maybe, yeah, where is she? She's not here.
I sent her an email. Okay. Just reminding her. So. Okay.
All right. So, yeah, please.
I've been sick since Sunday.
Uh-oh.
And I know the things I don't want to do, but I found myself a little short on what to do.
Okay.
I did a lot of vitamin C. I did a lot of the PERC. Yeah. I had some of the liposomal capsules. I think my fever probably went to 104, but I didn't feel like getting up to take it then. Mm-hmm. When I finally did feel okay to get up and take it, it was 102.
Okay.
So,
you still have a fever now?
No, I think today I haven't taken it today because I've actually been able to be upright. I'm still pretty tired. But I'm getting my voice back, and I'm finally getting some drainage. The headache was horrible because of the pressure.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what to do for that. Can you give me some tips for acute care under a situation like that?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, I would say highly recommend that you watch the vital recording from 2 months ago, I think it was, November maybe? Or was it December? One of the others, December? Yeah, so vital call in December, we went over acute care for colds, flus, and other kind of sinus infections and things like that. So you have some resources there. But off the top of my head, first of all, vitamin C. What's that? Lynn's showing me something. Vitamin C, I usually do it once an hour. She likes black oil, black seed oil. So that's a new one. I mean, I haven't used black seed oil. I've ordered it, but I haven't used it in a cold well because I haven't had one in years. So I haven't had the opportunity to try. But I like echinacea. I like Oregon grape because those are really, they're antimicrobial, but they're also immune supportive. They're going to help to strengthen your immune system to fight things off. The vitamin C, I usually do every hour. So I usually do at least a gram an hour. And if you can tolerate more bowel-wise, I would go with more. Vitamin D, there are studies that show that when you do vitamin D, somewhere in the neighborhood, 100 IUs. Now this is going to freak any people out. 100 IUs a day for 3 days, not more, because it's fat soluble. You don't want it to build up. But 100 IUs for 3 days. And it really is calculated based on your weight. So my amount came out to be around 100 based on whatever the formula
was. You mean 100,000?
100,000.
Okay.
Yes, but only for 3 days. Same thing with A. 100,000, but only for 3 days. Okay? And that will dramatically help. But people have wiped out all sorts of illnesses, acute illnesses, within 48 to 72 hours by those three things alone. So A, D, and E.
And how much was the vitamin A?
100,000-ish, yeah.
Same. Oh, so the same.
Yeah, but only 3 days. You might be able to get away with five, but 3 days. And I've seen people where they were suffering. I recommended it. Boom. They got better pretty quickly. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Echinacea, Oregon grape. Certainly teas and stuff that you can, because soothing your throat and your lungs. If it's in your lungs and you're coughing, I like mustard packs. That works really well. Lobelia and licorice can work really well for lungs.
Is the cardiovascular module open yet?
We just it's open. It's supposed to be, but the last section, which I recorded last night, is only partially edited, so I have to finish editing it, and it'll be up soon. So some of that stuff for lungs. Is it in your lungs or is it going into your ears? Is it throat?
The worst is over for me. It was mostly stopped up in my head. I felt like I had sucked a pool up into my nose. Yeah. And it wouldn't drain.
Wouldn't drain. Okay, so neti pot, you know about that, right?
The what?
Neti pot.
Yes, I was doing neti pot.
Okay. Now you can put stuff in the neti pot. You can put vitamin C in your neti pot. You can put Oregon grape. You can put golden seal. You can put echinacea. I would highly recommend that you be careful if you put grapefruit seed extract, because I've tried that a few times and it made it worse. It just like irritated the heck out of my sinuses and made it worse. But you can put those things. You might be able to put colloidal silver.
Eucalyptus.
Yeah, eucalyptus would be breathing, and it's not as much for the head, I think. I usually find it's more lung kind of thing, but a eucalyptus steam. But I would, in the neti pot, be able to put stuff. I think colloidal silver is another one that would be good. There's an amazing book, because these things are antiviral, right? These are viral. Here's a book.
Okay. It's on my list. I haven't got it yet.
Well, get the damn book. Everybody should have this book and the companion herbal antibiotic, because you never know when you're going to need this stuff, right? And again, Band-Aids are for acute care. I mean, we wouldn't want to just be treating chronic illness just by looking at antiviral herbs or antibacterial herbs, but we all have these acute things that come up. Our patients are going to have acute things come up, our kids, our family members. And when you can look things up, and he actually gives you great ideas, like, it's like an herbal materia medica where you can look up and see what else it's good for, right? Because herbs aren't like one for one, this for that. With herbs, you're looking at what are all the actions of it, And how do you use those actions with the person and where they're at? So this gives you, okay, this is good for, he actually gives you specific species. I don't know about the viral.
Yeah.
But he tells you all about all these things and when they're good for and when they're not. So you can read it cover to cover in advance, or you can just use it as a reference guide. I usually use it as a reference guide.
I was wishing I had already gotten that book this week.
You are. So it's just something that's saying do it. Put it on Amazon right now and order it.
Yeah.
I would recommend that for everybody. This, it's Booner, B-U-H-N-E-R.
Yeah.
Stephen Herod Booner. Is it backwards?
Yeah. No, it's good.
Oh, it's good. Okay. Stephen Herod Booner. Yeah.
I was going to recommend for the something I use as a preventative. I get it from Himalayan Institute. It's called Neti Wash Plus.
Mm.
It has Chinese philodendron bark, golden seal root, barberry root bark, Chinese coptis root, peppermint oil, eucalyptus oil, menthol, grapefruit seed extract, and it has zinc.
Perfect. So put that in the chat. Put it in the chat. Yeah, I think.
Get it from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I thought about too late was biocidin.
It could be. If you had it, I would use it. It's not something I would like recommend somebody go out and buy for that. It's more for deep, more chronic infection type things. But it could work, right? There's something from allergy research, but it's more for gut type of stuff, but it could work if you had it. You know what I mean? If you've been dealing with a gut thing and you've been taking these antimicrobials, you might, bump it up a little for that. But I think it's not as potent. Oregon grape is great. You can either get it as the whole bark and cook it up, or you can get it. Oh, and then in between after the fact, to strengthen you, because usually there's that post-viral thing, and in between you're a little bit more weak. I would do the things that will be immune modulators, that astragalus, reishi, what's the other one? Astragalus, reishi, not chaga. Chaga is more deep kind of stuff. Well, astragalus and reishi tend to be really good for that. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I think we're going to have to do an ACR on herbal interventions, right?
Was it maitake?
Maitake, yeah. Maitake is good for blood sugar balance, too. Okay, good. All right. Good, thank you. Did Michelle come on? Michelle, when you come on. Oh, she can't hear me. She's not on. Michelle, if you're on, raise your hand or just open your lineup. Lynn said, I couldn't stop laughing. Yeah. After using several expletives, he said to me, well, is it okay if I use expletives? I'm like, you already have. So then he went on to do more. He's just a kick. We were thinking about getting him for Shine. I think it'd be fun. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Janine had my last lobster last night for my birthday. Do you have an estimated cost? What do you mean a cost of what? Janine?
For the retreat.
Oh, the retreat is included. It's included.
But Laura's will cost extra.
Laura's will cost extra, and I think it's like $795 or something like that. The retreat is included, and you just have to pay your room and board, obviously. But they're really reasonable here. I think, it was like food and lodging was like $100 a day. So
food is amazing.
And the food was great because they're just amazing. That's what they do. I mean, it's a community where they provide meals for the inhabitants. So they're used to making it, and it's all plant-based food. All right. A lot to learn, Janine. Yeah, of course. Macro's big, and then micro's even bigger. Do we have micro before we have labs? I think we put it before because I wanted people to understand the nutrients before we started reading the stuff. But if you're in micro and it's going to take you a long time and you really want to get to lab, just let Lynn know and she'll click a button and it'll open it for you. So don't worry about it, right? Because sometimes with the micro, I mean, the micro is 25 hours long, so it can take a while to get through. Is because it's every single one. And it's, you know, it's a lot of it's reference, but I think it's really good to go through it. But yeah, if you're not finished micro, but you're really edging to get into the lab stuff, I would say. And the history stuff is super important as well. So, you know, you always sit there going, which should we teach first? This makes sense to come after this. This makes sense to come after that. But if you need, you know, if you really just want to, you know, skip a little bit in that regard, you can. So just let us know. We're open to it. And what do you mean by your lab? What do you want an S? Oh, that for that, a GoFundMe page. Black cumin oil. What dosing do you use on the black cumin oil?
I do about a dropper full every other hour if I'm sick, which like you, I'm really not. Usually if I'm not doing well, it's because I need to sleep. And which is what I did the few days ago. It was like, boom, hit. And also I'd been doing the fasting, and I think I just shifted some things, and I slept from 12 hours. So
nice.
That's really what I needed.
And there's black cumin oil, and there's black cumin tincture, and then there's the actual seeds.
Yeah, this is black cumin seed tincture.
Tincture, okay.
And so I'm really careful with it because it does have alcohol, mm-hmm. and my genetics don't really, if I'm taking this, I'm not going anywhere.
Because you get whoopy, huh?
I'm a lightweight. I do.
That's funny. I bought both. I bought the tincture because you had said something about, I don't remember even when you had said it to me. So I bought the tincture. I have the oil, and the oil is amazing tasting. So it's just one of these culinary oils that you put like a quarter, just kind of like toasted sesame. You just have to put a quarter teaspoon or half teaspoon in a dish. And it just has this amazing flavor, really amazing flavor. There's also the seeds. You can get the whole seeds and you can get them organically on Amazon. And I take them and I grind them, and I actually have a small amount ground into a little shaker so I can just shake it on things. And it's been found to have amazing results with thyroid. It lowers TSH rather quickly. It helps to decrease antibodies. And we've gotten several people in our ERC community who are working with it and having some good results. So, all right, let's see. Susan, can you remind us how to request modules to open for us? Just text Lynn or email nept@drritamarie.com and one of us will see it. But, you know, or private message or on Facebook and say, can you open this module for me? And she'll do it. Janet Books, I have a question. Okay, let me see. Where's your line? You're open. Go ahead. Hi, Janet.
Hi. I have a question about the vitamin C, the daughter that has the Enterobacter, and we have her on cryptolepsis and grape seed and that sort of thing. She was traveling, so she had emergency vitamin. So I told her to take gut to tolerance up to 4, and she did. Got diarrhea, backed it down to 3, then back down to 2. Now I've taken her clear off of it because her stomach is still really very upset and we can't seem to get it settled down. She was trying to drink water this morning and she couldn't.
So the stomach got upset from the emergency?
Yes. That was strange. But then, you know, she's got this Enterobacter that we're working on, so I'm not really sure.
Well, you know, but the emergency has some other stuff in it. It's not clean, especially she's one or the plain one.
I think she had the orange flavored one. It's just
so there's dextrose or xylitol or fructose, mm-hmm. or there's some kind of sweetener in there. So
I mean,
it could have aggravated her. So what do? I would get her on some slippery elm.
Yes. Yeah.
You know that, or marshmallow or whatever.
Okay.
Maybe some DGL.
Okay.
Just to calm it down. It sounds like the lining of the stomach got irritated from it.
Right.
And yeah. I would do that regularly. A lot of people think, oh, the slippery elm didn't work. Well, usually most people get results right away with a dose of slippery elm. I had somebody here, she was coughing. I went, wait a minute. And I went down and I got her some slippery elm tea. I made it, you know, fresh, and I put a little cinnamon or something in it and I handed it to her, and she drank it. She goes, what is that stuff? What is that stuff? You know, it just worked really quickly. For the gut, it may take 2 or 3 doses. I've taken it when I've over-gingered things. Has you ever done that? I love ginger, and I'd put a big old hunk and then I'd drink it, and I'd, oh, that was a little too much. And then I'll quickly take the slippery elm, and within 15 minutes, it's gone.
Is the liposomal vitamin C, is that going to be an easier one on her?
It would definitely be easier on her. Definitely be easier on everything, the whole gut. It's expensive though. So I don't know, what was she taking before she did the emergency?
She wasn't taking anything.
Oh, she wasn't taking any.
She's taking a regular good vitamin C with her general vitamins from USANA.
Okay.
USANA Health Products. Product. Okay.
So it's this particular, and it might have been the amount that she took, and because it,
Right. So we'll get her on the other one. And she just happened to have peppermint oil from Young Living, one of those little sample packs on her.
Yeah.
Traveling and not expecting, and now she's home, so we get her on these other things. But
okay.
I suspected it was just the cheap brand of vitamin C, but I wasn't sure.
So. Yeah, something did it. So get her soothed. Just soothe it. You can have her take slippery elm every 15 minutes for a couple of hours if need be, and then try to drink the water again. And she's clear how she can tell, because if the water irritated it, then she'll be able to tell pretty quickly. But, you know, take it for, you know, 2 or 3 doses, and then every 15 minutes, and then go ahead and test her, have her drink the water again.
Okay.
Now she should be able to drink the... She should be able to drink the slippery elm because it's, you know, it's smooth, right?
Yeah. She should be home pretty soon, and then I'll check on her again. Yeah, the travel this time of year, boy, I'm telling you, I take all this stuff with me. It's in my bag.
Oh, and I always have traveled. I'm not as careful lately, but I would travel with, I had a whole like suitcase kind of thing, little travel bag. When I had kids, I had every homeopathic I could think of for every possible things that we were going to encounter, the probiotics, the essential oils. I would just have that in a kit and I would take it with me.
Yeah. I'm having trouble finding a functional medicine doctor that can help me with those malaria pills for my Africa trip next month. I forgot the lady's name who spoke about that several weeks ago.
Yeah, you can reach out to her on our website. She may have some references.
What is her name? I forgot, and I couldn't find my note on it. It's
who was it?
Lula Watcott.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry. What?
Cilla Watcott.
Cilla Watcott.
Yes, Watcott. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm sure they have resources.
And she has a book, so you can check out her book, and she probably has resources in the book.
Okay. Great. Okay. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. You're welcome. I have a funny story about, what did she just say? Not a funny story, a very interesting story about slippery elm. So we had somebody who was in ERC a couple of years ago. Her mother was dying, and her mother said, I don't want to drink or eat. I'm just done. You know, I'm just gonna go now. But she was uncomfortable, right? Because the mouth gets so dry. And if they're unconscious, they don't notice it. But she's like, and her mouth was dry. And so she said, is there anything I could do? I said, well, what about trying some slippery elm and just have her swish it and spit it out? Swish it and spit it. Whenever she feels her mouth getting that really horrible dryness, it worked like a charm. It was so effective. She just wrote to me afterwards and said, thank you so much, you know, for helping my mother through her last days. It's wonderful stuff. So, you know, since people have dry mouth, maybe they're not dying, but they have that dry mouth and you're still working on the root cause. You know, okay, let's try just having them swish with slippery elm. So instead of swallowing it, because you can swallow it after you swish. She didn't want to, right? Because she was trying to not have any calories come in, but you can actually just have people swish, but not just drink it, swish. You hold it there like you're gargling for 30 seconds to a minute and then swallow and see how that works for people with dry mouth, like people with Sjogren's, right, where the mucous membranes get really dry. That could be a good thing. All right. Let's see who else. How much colloidal silver do you use? Louisa wants to know. I usually don't take anything according to directions. I just, like, when I'm, if I'm feeling like I have a cold even coming on, I'm just squirting stuff in my mouth. Like, yeah, what does my body want? 2 or 3 drops. But what is the recommended? Do you know what the recommended dose is of silver is, Lynn? I mean, it's probably a drop or full.
Well, I gave my granddaughter a half a teaspoon, like every other hour. And yeah, they have all sorts of, in, you know, the recommended. I also did my own muscle testing with her on it, and that seemed to be okay. You know, for myself, I usually use about a teaspoon if I'm in that particular state that I know I need to do that.
Yeah. The amounts that I actually do for myself, I rarely tell other people because they'd freak out. If I feel like a cold is coming on, I'm just, of course, like the vitamin C, I'm doing 1 to 2 grams every hour. I do a couple of zinc lozenges. And then with the echinacea, I just like, and again, I do kind of a self-test for those of you who believe in that stuff. I do kind of what's called a sway test. I just say, okay, how much my body needs, you know, does it need more? Does it need more? And I'll give myself, I went, wow, 5? I need 5 of this. And I'll say, okay, I'm going to test this again. Whoops. Yep. I need 5. So I'll just squirt it. Right. But it's a lot. Garlic, like if you're doing garlic, that's another thing, Valerie, you need to take the cloves of raw garlic, make some broth, you know, just, you could just even steam some vegetables and use the broth, and then take your garlic and press like 5 or 6 cloves into that garlic and just drink it down, into that broth. The garlic is really antimicrobial, and the allicin in the garlic works really well when it's uncooked. It has to be uncooked because the heat kills the allicin, which is the antimicrobial. So you can do 5 or 6 cloves. I have a friend who took that to heart, and he said, I don't have any garlic press. He was traveling. He bought garlic and he peeled the cloves and he swallowed the cloves like they were vitamin pills. He just one at a time, he had to cut 1 in half. He just swallowed them like they were vitamin pills. I would be a little concerned if somebody has any kind of stomach irritation or esophageal irritation in doing that. But it's worth a try. So, good questions. All right, let's see. Oops, I just lost my... I touched my screen and the thing disappeared. Okay. Oh, good. Lynn just posted the link to the Silawatka. So you got that, Janet?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, sure. I bet the slippery elm could help your mom, Janine. Yeah. She'll do it. And you know what, find out what flavor she likes. You can put vanilla stevia in it. You could put cinnamon. You could put peppermint. Unless she has a hiatal hernia, don't do that. But you know, there's so many ways you can get people that she does. Yeah. So don't put peppermint. Lynette, we do 1 teaspoon every few hours, 1/2 teaspoon for the toddlers. Good. Supposed to crush the garlic to activate the allicin. Oh, there you go. So he wasn't on the right track. That's true. You do need to crush it. So what I usually do is I'll make, sometimes it's guacamole, right? Because guacamole is fatty enough to hide the flavor, because 6 garlic cloves can be pretty potent, even for garlic lovers. But I'll just squeeze it into the avocado guacamole thing and then eat it that way. Who else? Michelle didn't come on, did she? Let's see her. All right. Well, we'll catch her next time. We have her case studies. Anybody else? Questions, comments? Okay. Louisa. Hi, Louisa.
Hello.
Hello.
You know, you asked a question, if I had any questions.
Oh, yeah. You had your hand raised. Maybe it was by mistake. Oh,
well, but that one, then I didn't know how to take it off because you answered the question of the clothes. Oh. but I have a question because I've been working actually with my son. 3 months ago, he had pneumonia. Oof. Then he has this terrible cough and cracked 2 ribs. Oh. And now 3 months later, he's still coughing. And I think he's kind of getting worse, but for some reason, it's hard to get him to do the things I tell him to do. It must be normal in families.
It's normal in families, yes.
But now that I think he's kind of hitting rock bottom because he's really not feeling good, one of the physicians told him not to take vitamin C because in his last blood work, he was shown that he was high in iron. But then they haven't done anything else, but she said, don't take vitamin C. Well, I had told him, take vitamin C, or you're never going to get well. But I've been taking notes on the did you say slippery elm tea is good for cough?
It's good for soothing the throat, right? It's not antimicrobial at all, but.
But then the garlic cloves would be antimicrobial?
Yeah. Garlic is antimicrobial, yeah.
About telling him about the colloidal silver, that's why I needed to know.
Yeah. If it's still, now sometimes the post-illness, post-viral stuff is not infectious anymore. It's irritated, dry, aggravated tissue.
He has a lot of mucus.
He still does. Okay. So I was just going to ask you the difference between a wet and a dry. I'll give you guys a little preview. I'm going to open up. I had a slide on coughs. And it's related to wet or dry. And really is important to distinguish on a cough, whether it's a wet cough or a dry cough, to know what to approach. I would also think about getting them to an acupuncturist.
Okay.
Because acupuncture, they have amazing herbal repertoire that can actually match the herb to his constitution. And they also, you know, it's going to balance, but they have... The acupuncture itself can balance. So I'll tell you about my son. A few years ago when he was a freshman in college, just looking for the slides. So give me a second. There we go. A few years ago, he was a freshman in college, and it turned out like there was a leakage in his room. The air conditioner ducts were leaking onto the floor, the rug, and he kept trying to get them to fix it. Well, there developed mold in the room. And he got a cough and a cold, which usually if he got a cold, he would last 3 days. And it kept going on and on. He was coughing like crazy, and it kept going on and on. And he was taking vitamin C, but he couldn't get good. He's so picky. He couldn't get good vitamin C. Mom, that vitamin C has junk in it. I don't want to take it. Like, honey, you know, so I ended up having to send him a care package, ordered from Emerson, sent it to him. He started taking the stuff, but it wasn't getting as well. And then he developed hives from it. And he wrote to me, I think I have post-viral hives. I'm like, okay, what do you know about post? Yes, it's a common thing that happens after you have a virus infection. Now he wanted to do something. Like, now it was like, okay, what do I have to do? So I got him to an acupuncturist, herbalist, and he had one visit with that person, one visit, and he was like 80% better. And by the end of that week, he was fine. Now, he still had some coast, you know, he had the irritation in his throat, and he continued to cough a little bit for several weeks, but it made all the difference in the world. Right. And he was a skeptic. He was the guy that, no, he would never let me do acupuncture on him. Never. Cause he was afraid of needles. And he finally just said, look, I'm desperate. He goes, I can stand the coughing. I can't stand the hives. I need to get something taken care of. The hives went away. The cough went away, et cetera. So I would just highly recommend Chinese medicine has a lot of really good things to offer.
Any recommendations in San Antonio?
I don't know anybody. I don't know people in San Antonio. But, you know, ask around. Is there a school there? There's not a school there. Because one of the things up here, we have two schools of acupuncture in Austin. And they have a clinic where you can go in and pay like $25, $35 for a treatment. And the clinicians are supervised by the experienced clinicians. And it's very reasonable. You can. Look at AOMA. AOMA. O-M-A, AOMA. Yeah.
Let him know.
And that's when my son had an ear infection, the first and only ear infection he ever had, I took him in there and I took him to one of my teachers, one of my instructors. So I actually went straight to the professional. So you're on this thing with these teachers who are really experienced. She's Chinese. And she examined him and I said, okay, what I've been doing is this point, this point, this point, and this point. But I'd been doing pressure. because he was 4 or 5, and you know, I'd been taught don't do acupuncture on kids that are under 5, and I said okay. So I was doing the pressure, and she said, "Oh, you're doing all the right points. I added one more," and she did it with the needles, and it cleared him up really fast. So it's very, very effective. And then she gave him the nasty stuff, but you know, we doctored it up, and he took it, and he got better. So I would recommend that they do, because it's there's an imbalance there, and it sets in. And lung imbalances are related to the grief. So if there's any like underlying emotional thing, it can make it last longer. Like if there's some grieving that he's doing, sometimes it's the loss of a pet, a loss of a friend, a loss of a girlfriend, you know, a loss of something, you know, a job, anything that people are grieving and they don't even realize they're grieving. So that's another approach too, is to like really help him to release that grief, if there is any.
Yeah, like he went to his physician, the mainstream medical doctor, and he gave her a steroid shot last week. And right now, he's worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had told him, I said, don't do that. But yeah. It was when I was out of town during the Christmas holidays, and he got really sick. And so he went because he was worried he was going to crack another rib. That's how much he was.
That's how much he's coughed. Get him on the slippery elm right away and have him do it the first day. Just do it like, you know, every 15 minutes for at least a few hours until
he finishes.
You buy slippery elm. You can buy the powdered slippery elm bark.
Uh-huh.
You get it I probably get it on Amazon. You can also get it on Mountain Rose. And you basically take a teaspoon of slippery elm powder. You put it in a mug. You add about a cup of water and you stir it around. And you have to do, like, the proportions are important here because you want to get a consistency. So teaspoon to a cup. If it's not thick enough, you can add more. But in about 4 to 5 minutes, it starts to really thicken, like a mucus consistency. A lot of people complain about the consistency. And they say, oh, can I make it thinner? No. Can I take a tincture? No. Can I take a capsule? No. Because it's not going to work. It's that thick mucilaginous, all those mucopolysaccharides that are soothing and healing. So you just make them suck it up and you have them drink it. And I would do it every 15 to a half an hour the first day, like for maybe the first 3 or 4 hours. And then you can go to every hour. Then you can go to three or four times a day and see what happens.
Okay.
There's other things for coughs as well. Cherry bark is in the lung. So, well, and he still has mucus. So here's the thing. I'm going to show you my slide. share screen. And I have some other stuff that you can do. But it's really important, guys, when you're looking at coughs, there's a cough is not a cough is not a cough. I'm trying to move this over. There we go. Okay, can you see it? Let me make it big. Whoops. There we go. You see it? Is it big enough, or should I make it bigger?
Yeah, I can see it.
Okay, so you've got cough that's either wet or dry. Wet coughs usually have mucus associated with them. Wet coughs are usually, the mucus is usually related to either an infection or something, the particulate that gets into the lungs that produces this mucus. A dry cough is more like the irritation, and often happens when there's an allergy, when there's an exposure, when it's post-viral, like you got rid of the virus, but you still have that aggravated, irritated throat because this stuff is not working. Hot liquids, teas, broths help. I'll often make like a soup with vegetables, and then I blend that up, and the kids drink it, put some garlic in it, and that really helped their throat. Slippery elm, marshmallow, they're all very mucilaginous, and they help to moisten that dry tissue. Cherry bark. Cherry bark's very good for that aggravated dry cough. Black seed oil, that works well for coughs as well, for dry coughs. For wet coughs, black seed oil works well too, but you're more rubbing it on the chest, and you just rub it over the chest. But for the dry coughs, it works really well. And then antispasmodics to make it stop. So things that are going to calm the muscles. And magnesium is a good one. Valerian, mullein, California poppy. I mean, you can look at some of the other relaxing herbs. Okay. And that's the kind of protocol you can put together for that dry cough. If it's still, if it's got, sometimes it's both. Sometimes there's that dry cough, but then there's mucus comes up sometimes, right? So the mucus comes up and then it's really dry and irritated. You might want to do a combination. That's why I put in general, eucalyptic herbs and foods. So those are, things that break down mucus, NAC, N-acetylcysteine, very good mucolytic. Okay. Onions, garlic, those things are good mucolytics. Antimicrobial herbs, you know, the things we talked about earlier, echinacea, golden seal, Oregon grape. Usually something with berberine is going to be really good for this. Licorice, another one that's really good. Ginger is really good. Mustard pack. So if there's a lot of mucus and it's just, it's not getting released, it's stuck to the chest wall, you get mustard, dry mustard. You get about a teaspoon of dry mustard, a cup of flour. I prefer gluten-free flour. And you mix them together with water until it forms a thick paste. You take a piece of cheesecloth, you put it over the chest. Then you slather on the mustard paste. You close up the cheesecloth, you let it sit, but don't forget to check it at 5 minutes. Some people have very sensitive skin. And they'll get a chemical burn. So you check it at 5 minutes. You just peel it a little bit. If it's still just normal tissue or just slightly pink, you can put it back on. And then you keep checking it every minute or two. And then you take it off if it starts to get pretty pink. Don't wait till it gets bright, you know, wet red. Don't leave it on for more than 10 minutes. And what that does is it loosens the phlegm that's attached to the chest wall. And then what you do is you have a person lay on the bed and hang their head over and cough, like just really force the cough. Now, in his case, because he's broken ribs, you want to be careful about that. But to cough it out, have him, you know, do some percussion on the back to help loosen it further, and then cough. And with his case, I wouldn't say cough forcefully, but I would say just try getting it out. And it should loosen and get pushed out. And then all the immune support, elderberries have actually been found there. Usually you use that for colds and flus. So getting back to Valerie, that's another thing you can keep on hand. I like to keep the little elderberries themselves. And if there's anybody having anything going on, a cold or a flu, we'll soak those elderberries and blend them up into a drink or make a tea with them, that kind of thing. Or you can get an elderberry tincture. Some of them sell elderberry syrups. I'm a little concerned about syrup because sugar suppresses the immune system. So we're trying to enhance the immune system. And if you take sugar and have a tincture that is made into a syrup, then you can be counterproductive. And propolis is another thing from bees that can be good as well for wet coughs. And then in general, I just, you know, antioxidant-rich foods, the garlic, onion, ginger, and oregano. Eucalyptus is really good for coughing to calm things down. Slippery elm, we talked about licorice, Chinese herbal formulas. And that's the best thing to do with Chinese herbal formulas is actually go to an acupuncturist and have them design something that's very specific for the person. Homeopathics, there are some. We used several homeopathic formulas that worked really well. I'm not a homeopath, so I don't know how to do constitutional homeopathy where I pick certain specifics for them. But I get, you know, remedy type things. And we've had some good luck. I actually had one, I don't remember what the brand was, but years ago it was a cough formula. And one of my neighbor's kids was coughing a lot. I said, oh, you want to try this? And sure enough, it cleared up the cough pretty quickly, calmed it down. So homeopathics can be a good thing. Is Lynn Rose on? She's a homeopath. She may have some other ideas in that homeopathic thing. I don't see her on. Where's my list of people? My list of people disappeared. Participants. Here we go. Let's see. You see Lynn Rose on?
She's on.
Yeah. You want to mention any specific homeopathic?
I just popped on, so I'm not quite sure where you are.
Oh, we were talking about coughs. You know, we distinguish between wet coughs and dry coughs.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of different remedies for coughs. There's like four or five of them that we use kind of off and on. Unless somebody repertizes it, you know, specifically, you can combine them. Mm-hmm. That's what we typically do is use four or five of them that are specific for coughs and make a dropper with those and just use them as needed. Mm-hmm. Drosera, phosphorus, there's several of them that are specific for different kinds of coughs. So
Drosera, phosphorus. What are some of the others?
I don't have my
in
front of me, but those are the two that I use the most. Spongia is one.
Isn't Drosera fruit fly or?
No, Drosera is whooping cough.
Okay, I just thought like Drosera is from. I thought it was from fruit fly. One of them is from fruit fly.
Okay, well, that's what we use for whooping cough, that type of cough.
Now, it sounds like with Louisa, her son, you missed the beginning, but her son had pneumonia, and it's been several months, but he kept coming. The cough is there, and he's broken a couple of ribs, and the cough is still there. Mm-hmm. And so she was looking for some ideas, so we were giving her some ideas here.
Well, again, it's treating a symptom, and you know where that goes.
So the underlying needs to be addressed, right? Yeah. But this is where we were talking about, like, in acute situations, you are given Band-Aids, and then you have to work on the underlying, like, why did they get it? But, you know, it's when Band-Aids are needed is when there's that acute situation. You got to stop the guy from coughing before he breaks all his ribs.
Well, phosphorus is more like when you lie down at night and you cough. You know, as soon as you lie down, you cough. And spongy is more for a dry cough. So they have their own specific qualities. Yeah. There's a whole lot more to than just that, though.
Yes, it's not of course.
Just that. So,
right. So getting a cough formula, which may combine them, might help. It might help. It might not. I always tell people with homeopathics, if they're just taking over-the-counter stuff without that specific, you know, constitutional approach, I say, look, they may work, they may not, but you know what? There's no side effect. You know, you just lost $10 by buying the bottle of homeopathic.
Well, the over-the-counter homeopathics work for a lot of people.
They do.
Sometimes they need something stronger, and there are stronger German remedies that we can get right now, but we're having some really bad news coming down with homeopathy, so I don't know how much longer we're going to get anything. So
What kind of bad news?
The FDA's throwing stuff around now, and they want to take out half of what we do in our practice. So, you know, we don't know how long we're going to even be in practice anymore with that. So,
that's so sad. I mean, anytime there's something that works, that's inexpensive and effective, they want to take it away because they're in bed with the drug companies.
Yeah. So it's going to drastically change our practice because of that. So,
That's horrible.
Okay.
Horrible. Anyway, that's the slide. If you have the screen share thing where you can take a picture of it, take a picture of it. It's coming soon. Louisa, for this slide that I have up here, and anybody else that wants it, you can always take a screen share of it. It'll be in the respiratory and cardiovascular module, which I recorded last night, finally. I had to redo a lot of this stuff. So I did it, and I have to edit it still before it goes up. But you can take a picture.
Can he take a picture with my phone?
Does anybody need, do you know how to take a picture of a screen? Like a screenshot?
Yeah. Is that your share screen?
I'm sharing the screen. But you can actually take a picture.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah, just take a picture with your camera.
Yes.
Right. I forgot about that. We don't need fancy screen share software. We have cameras. Okay, good. Great. Thank you. Thanks, Lynn. Appreciate
you. Thank you very much.
Okay. So I'll close that and then I'll stop share. All right. Who else? Let's see. Audrina said, make a cough syrup. 2 lemons boil for 10 minutes. Squeeze out the juice. Add 1 tablespoon of French minced garlic and 1 tablespoon of honey. Eat or drink it. Okay, great. And my concern is also always with the honey, but I think in this particular case, it's got some of that mucolytic property to it. You know, it's balancing out. Does the honey depress the macrophages enough to cause the immune system to go down? Are we trying to get the relief? How much of it right now is still microbial? You know, it might be most of it is just that irritation. And is it a green phlegm, white phlegm, or yellow?
Yellow.
It's yellow, so there's probably some viral particles in there, right? So the distinguishing, does everybody know the distinguishing fact between phlegm, like the color of the mucus?
I thought green is bacterial.
Green is bacterial, and this is always like subject to, you know, exceptions, but yeah, green bacterial, yellow viral, white is usually allergy or irritation, inflammation. Yes, and there are great homeopathic first aid books, and I've got several of them from when my kids were little. I remember my son when he was in eighth grade, and Lynn might get a kick out of this. My son was in eighth grade, And he had this horrendous fear of getting hit in the head and dying. And every time he'd be at school and somebody bumped me in the head, Mom, I'm afraid to go to sleep. Can you sleep with me? I don't want to die in my sleep. And he was horrendously, I mean, he was so scared all the time of this. And then he started to say he had like stomach pain. Like he was, and I asked him what it was and all this. So he had some several symptoms. In other words, I picked up the homeopathic book. I looked at some of the indications. And I found this remedy and I said, does this sound like you? And I read, you know, it had the abnormal fear of dying, nausea and stomach pain. And then it had a couple of other symptoms that he goes, oh, I have that too. So I gave him that remedy. And within a week, I mean, the fear of dying just was gone. He didn't come up with all that stuff. He'd been doing this for months. I just got bumped. I read about temporal. If you get hit in the temporal bone, it can cause a hematoma and I could die and I won't even know it. Like, you know, he was just like feverishly looking at the internet to see what, it's crazy. He just had this abnormal fear that he was going to die in his sleep. So, and the homeopathic remedy, when you match it, and Lynn knows this from practice, when you match it with the bunch of symptoms. So if you ever go to a homeopath, they're going to ask lots of questions that are weird sometimes, right? Like one of the guys, I went through the whole thing and then he goes, does your son like eggplant? I said, no, he hates eggplant. And then he'd ask other questions because he was formulating what remedies might work for this guy. And he was bedwetting. He was 5 years old and he was still wetting his bed. So he found this remedy and he gave him one constitutional dose. He said, come back in like a week. We'll give him a second constitutional dose. And the bedwetting went away. Like it's almost, it's uncanny how magical it is, but it's matching, right? So I always say to people, you get a homeopathic remedy that has multiple things in it. If it hits on one of the ones that's really your constitutional need, it'll work, right? But if it doesn't, it won't, but it won't have any side effects. And if you have any recommendations for a good homeopathic book, mine are quite old because I bought them when my kids were little. Susan said, I've had great results with B&T cough remedy in liquid form. Works great for those dry, irritated cough. And that's is that the homeopathic cough remedy? Yeah. I think some of those can be great. I would invest in a $50 to $100 remedy homeopathic kit. Yes, I have one. It's a little green box and it has like 100 different homeopathics. So I would just pull out, I would use in my Materia Medica, I don't know this stuff off the top of my head, and I would take out this, I think it was homeopathic remedies for your family or kids or something. And I would just look it up. And then that way, like Valerie was saying, I didn't have anything around. Well, you have this homeopathic kit. Even if you screw up and you don't help, it could help and you're not going to hurt them. And I would always carry with me when I went to Hawaii or went away on vacation with the kids, I would always carry the various homeopathics and I would do stuff with them. And I remember my son waking up in the middle of the night when he was 3, 4. Oh, my neck hurts. Oh, my neck hurts. I go to feel his neck and he's got these huge golf ball sized lymph nodes. I'm like, oh my God, anything else hurt? It hurts over here. If I press it, I'm like, oh my God, he's got an ear infection. I pulled on his ear a little bit. He goes, oh, you know, couldn't get back to sleep. So I gave him my typical stuff. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was a homeopathic for ear infection. It was echinacea, vitamin C. I just gave him a whole bunch of stuff. And then I had their specific acupuncture points that work for this. And there's a book called Ear Infections Naturally or something. I think the guy's name is Schmidt. And in there, he has this little chart of acupuncture points. And we'll make sure that we put that in the energy medicine module, Lynn. I think it's already there, but I'll make sure. If not, I'll put it in there. And so I go through it and it starts on the feet and it traces up the different meridians and you do some point. You can do acupuncture on them, but as a little kid, he didn't want needles. So I would just do this little pellet thing, you know, or not pellets, but I would have this little, almost like a pointer device. And I would put it, cause it's more specific than a finger. A finger's kind of big. So I would use this little pointer device and you can use the pen, the end of a pen, and I would rub on those points all the way up. And usually I had to do it once or twice and they would be fine and fall asleep. And this time he didn't. So I had to do it like 3 or 4 times. But as soon as I finished, he fell asleep. So it took about an hour. And then I woke up in the morning. We were supposed to go snorkeling the next day. And I'm like, okay, Kevin and I are staying back from snorkeling tomorrow because he's sick. Got up and he was, hey, are we going snorkeling today? I was shocked. I feel his neck completely gone. You know, and then I do lymphatic drainage, just a gentle downward massage. Gone completely. And I've shared that protocol that I was using with lots of my patients, right? Those points and then the different herbs and the homeopathic. Amazing results. Imagine if you can keep kids off of antibiotics because they're mostly poorly prescribed. And how many of the antibiotics that we were prescribed early in life contribute to the health problems we have later in life, right? A lot of them, because messed up microbiome is very dangerous. And acylcylum. Yeah, I've used that one. How do you say that one? Acylococcium?
I'd say oscillococcinum.
Oscillococcinum. Okay, I was way off.
Oscillo, okay.
Oscillococcinum. Yeah, I've used that one too. I remember, you know, all these different situations where we'd be traveling and, you know, like, okay, let's, what do I have? As they get older, I didn't take all the kit with me anymore. And I go,
it's homeopathic bird flu, so I just stockpile it.
Is that what it is? Yeah, I that worked really well for my son. For one time he had a fever when we were at a Thanksgiving at his cousin's house and gone in 24 hours. Yeah, works really well. This is good. How many years do homeopathic remedies last? What do you think, Lynn? I thought they lasted forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
As long as you don't store them by electronics or by, you know, essential oils and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the cool part about it is that, and you don't use much. Right? No. So you might spend $100 once to buy this whole big kit.
It's frequency medicine. So, mm-hmm. You know, all you have to do is have the frequency of it. It's not like you have to have big doses of it.
Right.
And frequencies interfere with it. So that's what you have to protect it from.
What I like is that they're now coming, they now have them with sucrose instead of lactose because it needs a carrier. And I mean, you're not going to throw your blood sugar off by these little tiny pellets unless you eat the whole bottle. But
also what we use is sucrose.
Sucrose. Yeah. And then they at Whole Foods now, they have that separate section with boron, I think it is. And it's got the ones with the sucrose instead of lactose.
A lot of that and the Highlands use the lactose too.
That's good. Okay. Yeah. That's a lot. Yeah, that's in the stores a lot. So have that stuff on hand, right? Going back to Valerie's original question was what could I have done? What could I have had on hand? Like there's these little things that you can have on hand. Just have a repertoire of things that you have on hand. So if somebody in your household, your friend, you start to have symptoms, you just grab them, right? A first aid kit. We do need to have a first aid. We don't have a first aid module, but maybe an ACR first aid. Or maybe just another module. Module 37 coming soon. Acute remedies. Cause I'm not a this for that person, but you know, we need this for that when somebody's sick like that. But you also have to be working on the underlying, right? You're getting them off of dairy and sugar and gluten and all the other stuff. And then you're talking to them about improving their immune system. But sometimes it happens even if they have good habits. Like my sons, you know, they were kids, they were exposed. They get stressed over exams and they rarely were sick. My older son, if he came home, he'd come home from school and go, what's the matter? Oh, I just don't feel so good. I feel like I'm getting a cold. Okay. I'm going to go to bed. And he'd go to bed and sleep till the next morning and be fine. Or he'd say, Mom, can you make me that soup? He even asked me that last summer when he was 22. Mom, could you make me that soup? Like, oh, okay. And it was just like carrots, cabbage. I think it was cabbage, broccoli, and celery. And I just put it in a pot with lots of water and garlic, of course. And I put the garlic in at the end. And then I'd take it out and I'd put it in the blender and blend it on up. And then I'd add the garlic and he would love it. It's a little salt and he would love it and it would be amazing. Right. And it helps him even when he was 22 and he'd been suffering with like, you know, whatever it was. I think it was a headache. He couldn't figure out what it was. And I think he thought he had eaten chocolate. He definitely doesn't eat chocolate usually, and it stimulated a migraine. But he got rid of that in a few hours. So it's amazing stuff.
We can have that as part of our graduate course.
Yeah. Cool. I like it. All right, but go watch the video, the vital one from last month. It's not as in depth as maybe, you know, what we do in what we do as a practitioner, but it's got a lot of great information. I mean, my stuff for the clients is really in depth, as some of you know who have been through those programs. So, because I want to empower people. I think that our job is to empower people, not to heal people. I really don't like using the word healer when people say, "Oh, I'm a healer." No, you're not. No, you're not. This is a healer. You're a healer of you. You're not a healer of anybody else, but you're a facilitator, right? You empower people to heal. And I've been using the term over there. It just came to me a few weeks ago, the self-empowered healing, right? Because that's what we want to do. We want to create self-empowered healing. We're going to teach them what they need to know to create the environment in their body that helps them to heal. And we're the ones that are the detectives that help them figure out what that is. They're not going to put two and two together, you know, that they had this the other day and that the other day and their stress level on top of it caused them to get sick, or that they have an autoimmune disease because of heavy metals or whatever else. That's our job, right? We get to be the detective and figure out what the underlying root cause is, provide Band-Aid medicine whenever it's appropriate. But like Tom O'Brien says, you don't throw somebody, somebody who just falls in the river, you don't just throw them the life preserver and leave them there, right? And that's what the docs are doing. They're throwing them a life preserver, drug X, drug Y, and then they're leaving them in the water. It's crazy. It's crazy. Anyway, I think we're done. Does anybody else have questions? I love these calls, guys. It's fun and it's always enlightening, and we never know where they're going to go. And we learn a lot.
I don't have a question, but I do want to tell all my Eastern student fellow practitioners to please be safe with all the storms that are coming your way. And
I'm glad I don't live in the East. Who's in the East? Kimberly, where do you live? Let me undo you. Oops. You must be doing it at the same time I will. I'll stop. Undo. Just click the mute. Okay, I'll click it. There we go.
I'm in Connecticut.
Oh, ouch. We're
expecting 4 to 6 inches, which isn't a lot, but we have a lot of winds. So,
yeah, be safe. Yeah. Erie, Pennsylvania had like 60 inches or something.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So. I know.
And there's not a, well, there are ski slopes out that way, so maybe it's a good thing.
But it's been so cold.
Oh, it's been cold here even. Has it been cold in San Antonio, Louisa? Oops, let me unmute. I want to mute you. Okay. There we go.
This morning was 28 degrees. Oh. Very cold for San Antonio.
Very cold. It was 26 or 25 here, and it got down to 22 the other day. That's cold for us. My nose has been getting cold and turning red. I haven't even been outside. I will tell you, I have not stepped outdoors since Christmas Day. I'm not going out in that.
You were fasting too.
And I was fasting. So fasting makes you colder. Yeah. I'm still kind of fasting. I've so far eaten. Yesterday I had vegetable broth, and that's not exactly eating. Today I had the vegetables from the vegetable broth, a half a bowl of that blended up. But the weird part was my blood sugar had been 33 throughout my whole fast, 33 to 38. And it's fine because I had high ketones. So I felt great. I felt awesome. And then I exercised on Saturday. Not a good thing to do like 20 push-ups and a minute and a half a plank when you're fasting. My blood sugar went up. got up to 60 or something.
Yeah, that's what it does.
And that's what it does. Cause, and then I thought, well, where's the sugar coming from? Because I'm not intaking anything. It's coming from my muscle because I'm out of glycogen. Glycogen stores are gone by that, by day five, right? So, yeah. So I said, oh, I'm burning muscle. That ain't a good idea. But I'd already had an appointment with Maria to do the online personal training, and I love it. For any of you who really want to get a good workout, Maria is amazing. So I've been doing it once a week, twice a week actually for a while with Maria, and she just takes me through stuff. She goes, oh, I'll be easy on you today. I said, yeah, we got to be easy. And I, the first thing we did was I laid down and I did some sit-ups, and that's easy because I'm laying down and I'm liking it. I'm like, and then she got me up and I'm like, I like the laying down part. Can we do more of the laying down? I didn't know. She took me through four different exercises, four sets of four different exercises. Light, she said only 7 push-ups, not 20. You know? So 20 per though, 7 per set, that's 28 push-ups.
Yeah.
Right. And then whatever else things I was doing, she was only making me do like, 7 to 10 instead of more, but it was a lot. So what happened to my blood sugar is it had gone down to 49 after it really didn't go back down into the 30s ever since that first exercise. It went down to 49 and within like 2 hours, it was up to 78. I'm like, I haven't eaten anything in 7 days. How is my blood sugar 78? So again, I'm like, I'm eating myself.
Yeah.
It's the only thing. So I thought, you know what? I really need to start to eat because I don't want to eat away my muscle. Anyway, but, the really thing is what Joel Kahn said to me on the thing. He goes, you're not supposed to do that during the fast. Just not supposed to do that during the fast. I'm like, you're right. I'm just like, I couldn't stand the idea of not moving my muscles any longer. Yeah. Yesterday I had the bowl of broth. Today I had those veggies. And after the veggies, this was really frightening. It was broccoli, Brussels sprouts, zucchini, onion, and ginger. Now, this wasn't my idea. I told my husband, I want to do vegetable broth. One vegetable. He goes, oh, that's boring. Can I put ginger? Sure. One vegetable and ginger. So I ate it anyway, but I thought it would be too complex. No problems with GI. It went down easy. I only had that bowl. I have this little kind of mug bowl kind of thing. It's really cool. And it was about up to, this line here. It wasn't much, but I drank it. My blood sugar went up to 98.
Oh,
like, how can my blood sugar go up to 98 from a bowl of vegetable broth? So I'm just tracking everything. I've got this really cool sheet. If anybody wants me to share it, I have it in a Google Drive and I can just share the template and you can download it. But I created this template to monitor. Let me see if I can find it. It'd be in this read and retracking form. There it is. So I've been tracking. I didn't track the first couple of days. I would have liked to see how, what happened? There it is. I would have liked to see how I did the first few days, but I forgot about tracking. I was tracking glucose, but not the ketones. And I didn't track my glucose, from the start. So the day before, I just had my weight, but, I didn't test my glucose. I was kind of not into it yet. But next time when I do one, I'm going to track everything the day before, and then I'm going to track it throughout. But by day 2, it was down to 45. So I started on the 26th, so this was day 2, 45. Then I started checking the ketones, and my blood sugar was 31, and I'm like, how am I even standing? How am I even doing this? And then my ketones were 6.7. And that's high. That's starvation, area. Now, it's not bad. It's just what you expect during a fast. If you're going on like a ketogenic diet, you might keep it like the 0.5 to 1.5 is considered mild nutritional ketosis. I think that's what a lot of people get into during sweet spot. Is that mild nutritional ketosis. And then 1.5 to 3 is full-on ketosis. And then, but 3 to 6 is considered, 3 to 6, 3 to 7 is considered therapeutic. Right. So for cancer, for epilepsy, for autoimmune disease, so I was at 6.7, 6.5, 5.9 it dropped my blood glucose went up a little, my blood ketones went down. But pretty much the ketones stayed until this day. So this is when I exercised. So it was 44 and 59, 5.9 before. And then after, wait a minute, where's my numbers? Where'd it go up to? 56. Oh, the first time I exercised, it didn't go up much. It only went up 11 points, but it got me out of the 30s. That's when I got out of the 30s. But then it dropped down and I was back in the 30s at bedtime. But then the next morning, it was back down to the 30s. But then it, I tested it in later and it was 4.7 and 56 and I hadn't eaten anything. So I didn't know if it was the side effects of the fasting. I'm still analyzing this stuff and I mentioned it on the Facebook group. I'd like to get like 5 people, 10 people that want to go through a 5-day fast with me and where we can actually keep the records and see. So I want to analyze this. I want to like understand what's going on so I can explain it to people. Cause I've always done fasting, but I've never done the measurements before. Mm-hmm. This was my best day. I felt so amazing. I wanted to, you know, if it was nice out, I would have been running badly. Not a good idea, but I would have been out there running if it was more than 23 degrees out. And then it went down, but here's where it went up. Where's the day I did? Oh yeah. So day 8, I woke up and I was more tired. So this day was so great. And then I woke up tired the next morning and weak, like more like the first couple of days of the fast. And then I went and did this training session and it jumped up to 68 and then 72 and then stayed at 70. Finally dropped down. This is 330. I don't know why I can't get that to work, but 330, it dropped down to 49. But then I, where's that day? Yeah, 1, 2, that was yesterday. Yeah. After drinking a few cups of broth. So I had like 2 cups of this and it went up to 85 after vegetable broth. Wow. So we're suspecting maybe onions because they're a sweeter, higher carbohydrate vegetable. Broccoli, certainly not. Brussels sprouts might be a little higher anyway, but my husband had the same experience where his blood sugar went up. So, and then I was, after an hour training session and then it kept going up. I was standing at my desk for over an hour, 70, and then it went back down, but he's never gone back into the 50s or 40s since. So 69 this morning, 61 right before I ate. Then I had this vegetable stuff and it 2 hours after it was 98. Now the scary part is I didn't check it in between because I got on calls. So I don't know if 98 was the peak.
Were you stressed?
Well, I'm usually not feeling overtly stressed, but I had a lot of things to do, but it wasn't an overly busy day. So
I tracked my blood sugar for a long time and I could just never get it into a reasonable range. I mean, it was always in the 90s or 80s, I guess, high 80s, early, you know, low 90s. And, I mean, there's just so many different factors. It seems like. But I noticed that stress for me was a big one.
Yeah. Well, you know, this might be a key point because this week I wasn't having appointments. I was working like a maniac, but I wasn't on a schedule. I didn't have to make sure I finished with this person, went to this person, got this person done. You know, I had this busy schedule starting yesterday. Right. So it's never gone back down. So that could be, well, it went to 49
right. When you're interviewing people, right? I mean, that's got to be more stressful than working on plans or something, right?
Yeah. When because you're on a schedule, you got to make sure that, you know, the technology's working. You got to make sure that we got it set up. Did he get his links? You know, is it going to go? So that kind of stuff. And then, you know, this afternoon and yesterday I had a comprehensive lab assessment appointment with people in ERC and I had, you know, I had a lot of their labs to like sort through and it's always a matter of, am I going to be able to figure this out? And, you know, I still have those doubts after 25 years, but they went really well. I mean, they went super well, right? But sometimes when you're looking at the labs, you're going, what am I going to talk to this person about? I'm not sure what that means or whatever. But then it starts to just come and you flow with their energy and it works. It worked out really well. But that's, you know, that's a good point. Like I had an interview today and I had a Facebook Live I did yesterday. So it's all, I think I'm not a schedule person. I think I'm a just loosey goosey, let it flow. And that's why I always say, I'm just going to do Shine next year and I'm just going to show up and talk about whatever everybody wants to talk without having to do all the prep. And people say, oh, that'd be fun. Like, but would you pay to come? You know, right? But I think that when there's a schedule and there's other people that I need to account to, right? I'm very careful about other people's time.
Yeah.
So it could have been that. That's a good point.
And do you meditate and do yoga and that kind of, or breathing exercises?
Every morning I do 20 minutes of meditation. And throughout the day, I do my heart math appreciation breathing. Constantly doing it.
Oh, wow.
Constantly. Yeah. So I'm a type A and I have like, I don't know, 10 GAD homozygous SNPs, which is the SNP that says you can't convert glutamate to GABA. So you got intensity. I've got other SNPs that are like that too. I mean, I've got a tendency, but those techniques, the meditation and the heart math, keep me sane. You know? Yeah. And exercise too, which is why I was so excited to go exercise again and it was premature. So yeah, I don't know. You know, I think these are the kind of things when you're monitoring fasts or whatever, or cleanses, is that you do it multiple times before you really get a sense of it. But I was beginning to think, oh, okay. So, the glucose goes up, the ketones come down, the glucose goes down, the ketones come up. And pretty much it followed that, but there were a few exceptions. Like this afternoon, I haven't done it. Oh, I'm supposed to do it. Darn it. I missed the boat on it. Check after my broth, but my ketones were down to 4.8 today. So, you know, and that was not eating anything until that was the first food. Yeah. So the ketones went down to 48 when my blood glucose went down to 84, up to 84. So
when you normally have broth, does your glucose spike like that or not?
I've never really noticed it. I've never tested it. So that's a curious thing because generally I'll test my glucose after if there's something suspicious, but vegetable broth. What's suspicious about that? Okay, it's down to 74, but that's not. Oh, so yeah. So I don't know if it went up after it. So it's not. This vegetable broth didn't make it go up. And he left out the onions. We were both suspicious because onions tend to be. And he left out some other things. So this was just shiitake and broccoli. Mm. So it was a pretty straightforward one. So I'm going to try eating that tomorrow. I may blend that up tomorrow and eat it. See.
Yeah.
But we're both doing this and we're kind of tracking it. What time is it? 9:04. Yeah. So I kind of missed the peak. So I don't know, you know, peak's usually like 45 minutes. So I missed the peak. So I don't know.
Well, you still got a whole bunch of benefit out of, you know, doing such a long fast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think this is bad. I mean, keeping blood sugar. Yeah.
So no, it's just interesting really.
But it's just, yeah, it's just curious and interesting. And it makes me want to do this with a bunch of people and make sure we keep careful records.
Oh, count me in. I'm good.
Well, if anybody wants a copy, I have a blank copy of this. If you want it, I can just post the link. Can I post a link to a Google Doc, Lynn? I just give them the link. And it's a read only. So you have to download it to yours because I don't want people messing my template.
No.
Okay, so let me find it. It's, if I do go back to this. Okay, it's not responding. There we go. My computer seems to need a reboot every few days because it gets really sluggish after a bit. Could be the 27 windows I have open.
What do you think of the idea of doing a quarterly fast?
I like the idea. And I think everybody's a little different, right? So not everybody would tolerate it, but I like the idea. Joel Kahn was talking today about the fasting mimicking diet, which is a way you can get the benefits. And I'm going to be interviewing Walter Longo next Wednesday on Facebook. And he wrote the book, The Longevity diet or something like that. But he talks about, like, he did, he and his researchers did this amazing studies where they said, look, so not everybody can fast. It's very inconvenient for lots of people. And so what can we do instead to get the benefits of fasting without having to do that? And he created this protocol, because I can't wait to get it. The book hasn't come out yet, but he sent me a PDF copy of it today, so I'm going to look at it. But I'm interviewing him next week. So I think that's a Joel does it once a month, like once a month for 5 days. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to do it. And it's a great way to get your weight, you know, keep your weight maintained and get the benefits.
Ricola recently interviewed him.
Did he?
Yeah, I think he just sent out an email about that yesterday.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So you might, I mean, it might be interesting.
Yeah, I'll go look for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting to talk to him. So, because I started following his work a couple months ago and ordered his book, pre-ordered his book. So it's called The Levin Longevity Diet, I think.
Yeah, it came out yesterday.
Came out. Oh, it did. He said the 9th it wasn't coming out till.
Well, on the Penguin Random House website, it says it came, it's available.
It came out earlier. Like, I looked at my, yep, I got it on my Kindle. So I think this is the Kindle version, not the one he sent me. So it's downloading. It's called The Longevity Diet. That's all it's called. So I can't wait to see what he has to say and, you know, all that. So.
And have you ever interviewed Dr. Fung?
No, he's on my list, though.
He's great.
Yeah. I like it. I got his book, too. Let me look for this. Let me pause this and then look for my file. Okay, why is it not going? Oh, I have to go back. Go back up a level. I'll go up here. So I'm just going to find it and put it out. Because if I say I'm going to do it later and then I get crazy busy, I won't do it later. So it's just my computer's being sluggish. Lynn, will you send me a Skype that says, do this? Ah, there it is. Okay, it's coming back. Mm-hmm. Ketone. There we go. Template, glucose tracking form. Okay. I can share. Yeah, there's something wrong with this window. I think it's just too many windows open. But it's just going to come. It's sluggish. And you're welcome to use it, modify it. You know, if you come up with better, you know, some extra columns that you want on it. I've set it up for somebody I'm working with, and I put in extra columns because he has ulcerative colitis. So I put in, oh, this is his. No, this is mine. I put in digestive stuff. I put in some of the other stuff because he's got other issues. And that's what you can do. If somebody has particular issues that you're trying to track, you can just put a column in for that, and they can just say what the status is of that every day.
So if maybe you could put this in as the clinical pearl for the next NEPT newsletter.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a great idea. Okay, so I'm going to share. I'll just give you the link in here, and anybody that's on the call can get the link. Yeah, I could do a whole call on just fasting because it's fascinating. I think it's so effective. Like this guy I'm working with, so this is a case study call. I could talk about my own case study. He's got diabetes, type 2 diabetes, but uncontrolled, and they put him on insulin. So he's on insulin and metformin. He's got high blood pressure, so he's on like 2 different medications for that. And he's ulcerative colitis, and he didn't want to do the medication anymore because it made him feel sick. But he's been having bowel incontinence 10 times a day. Can you imagine having bowel incontinence 10 times a day? Yeah. Some bleeding, pain, serious pain. And his wife has been trying to talk to him. She's very health conscious and trying to talk to him. And he'll do something for a while. He did the SCD diet for a while. And it worked really well. And then he got off track with it. And he started eating the crap again, and it came back, and he was shocked. I said, look, we got to get this healed. So I had talked to her. I said, get him to do a fast for a little while, you know, at least some kind of liquid diet so that the gut can heal. Anyway, long story short, he finally called me, and he said, would you help me do this? So I said yes. And I told him, you know, first of all, I can't really get intensive with you. He said, I want to do a 28 day fast. I said, well, he goes, but I don't want to do it until after the holidays. I said, great, because I can't do it until after the holidays anyway. I said, but here's the thing. This was the beginning of December. Between now and the holidays, here's what I want you to do. I said, first of all, I don't know if you can do a 28 day fast. You're on all these medications. You've got to notify your doctor. You got to tell them what you're trying to do. They've got to be on call to be able to lower your medication. Because your medication needs are going to be lowered. He went down from, I think it was 20-something units of insulin, down to 9. And all he did, this was in less than a month, this was like 2-3 weeks, and all he did was he did a one-day water fast, followed by broth, followed by another one-day water fast. Then he did broth and a little bit of food. And then he said, oh, the food wasn't good. I had no incontinence on those days. Then on the third day, I can't remember the exact days, but the idea was that when he ate the food, yep, the next day he had bowel incontinence, but just once. So the most he's having the bowel incontinence now is once. And he went and did, so next thing, 4 day. He got up to a 4 day fast. In fact, he came for an event here at our house, like a little party right before Christmas. And he's like, okay, I'm not eating. I'm on my third day of the fast. I'm like, whoa, good for you. And he had so much discipline. And he went one more day after that. He stopped because his blood sugar had gotten down in the 50s and he got scared.
I did that before.
I said, okay, you got to get the ketone meter, because as long as your ketones are up, I'm not concerned about your blood sugar going down. What I am concerned about is you got to lower your metformin insulin. So the goal is we'll get him off of that and get him healed of the gut stuff. But the point is, like, with somebody on medication like that, it's kind of scary, right? So he said, I talked to this doctor. He said, I can lower it myself. He just said, just go gradually. I said, just be careful. Right? You've got to test regularly, not the once or twice a day like they tell you to do. You got to check throughout the day, because if your blood sugar starts to crash, you've got to, you know, you might have to bring it up if it gets too low. But when you get the ketone meter, then you don't have to worry about that. Right? The reason that people get into diabetic coma is that they're not shifting from glucose burning to fat burning. And if they shift from glucose burning to fat burning, then they can get their blood sugar. I don't know how low it can go. Mine went to 31. That's pretty darn low. But I don't know enough to, you know, I haven't experimented with enough to know. But my ketones were at 6.7. Maybe I would have been in trouble if my ketones were at 3 with a blood sugar of 31, right? But my ketones were at 6.7, plenty of fat to burn, okay? So those are the kind of things that we're experimenting with, but the results so far are phenomenal, right? So he just started Tuesday on his one day, or Monday maybe, on his what he wants to do is 28 days. So I have him texting me every day, updating his spreadsheet that was like that every day.
That's good.
Every day.
I feel like when you do long fast, you need to be, it's like, you know, you convert to religion, you read the Bible every day. I read fasting books every single day, and it really helps me. And, you know, for him, he should read Fung's book.
I recommended that book and the Furman book, and his wife ordered them. So,
because he has a couple, the one Complete Book of Fasting.
Yes, that's the one.
It's so great. He's got great case studies. He's healing diabetes left and right up there.
Right. And that's why I wanted him to read.
Yeah.
I know it can heal the ulcerative colitis and the Crohn's. All you have to do is rest that stuff for a while. I recommended Boswellia if he could get it. But he was doing that over the last couple of weeks, because it does help with the healing the gut. But, you know, there's nothing like giving it a rest that can't help the gut. But yeah, Fung's book is great. And I recommended, I said, read up on this stuff. You have to understand what's going on here. And yeah. I said, you've got to call your doctor if you start to see your blood pressure to go too low, you've got to call the doctor and find out. But I said, as soon as it gets, if your blood pressure goes like below 100 over whatever, so if it goes to 90, 95 over something, you let me know, because I'm going to recommend, you know, some stuff. And I just want to be in touch with them so he doesn't go, oh, I got up to 50 over 20. I'm feeling like I'm passing out. No, I don't want to get you there. I want you to do that. And I'm going to explain to you how to talk to your doctor about lowering your dose. or just, you know, talk to your doctor about stopping it. So
does he have weight to lose too?
Not much more. He may have only 5 or 10 pounds left because he's, yeah. When I saw him, I was shocked to see him at Christmas because I hadn't seen him in several months. And he had been, you know, kind of stocky and robust. And he looked really good. He's, you know, he says, I only have about 5 or 10 pounds left to lose. So he's going to get under, which is understandable. I was 92 at the end of my 28-day fast. You know, it comes back. But I felt great. And yeah. I wasn't seeing myself as being underweight. That's the issue. I didn't really see, I saw myself as being skinny, but I didn't see how skinny until I found a picture later.
I know.
Like, we've gone out. And I'm like, oh my God, I looked like that. No wonder people were scared for me. Yeah. Right? I look like somebody from Biafra, whatever it's called. Yeah. 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 But it's phenomenal healing. And I wouldn't recommend that you guide somebody through a fast unless you've got a lot of experience with it. I'd recommend that you refer them to someone, unless they're doing a 1 or 2 day, and have them read the Jason Fung book, because he talks about intermittent fasting, doing one day, 2 or 3 times a week. And that's what I had invited him to do. I said, do 1 day, do 2 days. You know, don't just jump right in. And he did them, and he said he was fine, except the sugar got too low. I explained to him how to monitor that and talk to his doctor about lowering the meds, and we'll see where he goes. But I think this guy can do well if he sticks to it. So here's the thing that goes back to getting people to comply. He gave me his diet journal from the time we first talked until the other day, and he had the fasting, and I drank this, I ate that. And then he had Christmas with his family.
Oh.
And it was all, you know, it wasn't probably as terrible as it used to be, but you know, the gluten-free muffin and then the pizza and that, you know, like, how did you feel? Awful. Awful. So I said, good. Your body's giving you the feedback.
Yeah. It's good learning.
It's a good learning experience. So I think if he can do this, this is the thing that happened with me. I've done I did the 28-day fast. I know people have done 30-day fasts, but at the end of it, like within a few months, the habits are kicking back in. For me, I made it a religion. I said, okay, I'm doing this fast, and I made the decision before. And afterwards, not a smack of gluten, dairy, sugar, allergens, processed food is ever going to cross my lips again. That's the decision I made. Mm-hmm. And when I make a decision like that, I stick to it. And I've stuck to that for 30 some years. And it shows because I feel amazing, right? In my 60s, I feel better than I did in my 20s. Right. And I have the strength and stamina to do 20 pushups and a minute and a half of plank on the 5th day of a fast. Like most people can't do that on a normal day. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's really made a difference for me, and I want to share that with people.
Yeah. That's great.
So if I can help people get the benefit with the intermittent fasting, with the fasting mimicking diet, with short little fasts, but I love the idea you asked her initially was, you know, what about once a quarter? Doing a 5-7 day fast once a quarter would be amazing.
And I'm trying to do once a week, you know.
Like 1 day a week?
Day a week, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of benefits to that. But yeah. Now, do you do the 12 to 14 hour spacing between dinner and your next meal?
Yeah, I try. I don't know. I was having a hard time this fall. I don't know what happened. So, you know, I don't know why, but anyway, I'm trying to get back on it and really be,
yeah.
I'm really good with, I need partners. I need accountability partners. And
me too. That's why I did this and created the group, because for all year long, I'm going to start a fast tomorrow.
Oh, exactly.
That looks really good. And it's in the refrigerator now. Let me finish it first. And then, there's something else. So really, when I said I'm going to do this and I committed, I'm going to do it.
Me too. When I wrote on that, on the Facebook, I'm going to do this once a week thing. And I just did it. I thought, well, I said I was going to do it. So
you have to do it, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Good.
So I was going to fast, you know, cause Dr. Pompas, I was working with him for a while, and he started on January 2nd, but I woke up on Christmas Eve feeling horrible. So mm-hmm. It was really easy to fast that day, and I didn't feel great the next day. So I fasted. And I thought, you know what? The first couple days are the worst anyway. I'm just starting, you know, as of Christmas Eve. And so I've been going.
Yeah. I mean, if you didn't have, like, I had family, I mean, not my family, not a big family, but I, you know, we do a family thing, family dinner. And then I went to friend's house on Christmas. I didn't want to start and go, well, no, I'm just fasting today.
No, you can't do that.
No. So I started on Tuesday. And what did Papa do for 5 days, or was he guiding people, or was it just like an informal?
You know what? He's in it right now. You should join it just for kicks, just to see what he's doing. But giving these lectures, and your client should do that too. Giving little videos. He's got
over
1,700 people doing it.
Wow.
And and they're all, you know, it's a private Facebook page, and they're all talking about it and they're experiencing.
So how would I join it?
Well, I'll send you a link.
If you go to just his page, his Dr. Pompa page, there's a link on there where you can sign up for it.
Have you been watching him, Lynn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I went there and didn't see it, but I will. Okay.
And you can just scroll down and go to all his videos. He tapes them.
Oh, okay, so you can watch the previous ones. That's great.
Yeah.
Good.
He gets good information. So, anyway.
Yeah, he's definitely good. I've learned a lot of keto stuff from him. I was interviewed on a podcast yesterday on keto, and he was talking about the ups and the downs, and I gave him my interest. I said, because he asked me, like, he was in a Facebook group, a mastermind, and he said, who feels like they could talk about the keto? I said, well, I can give you some interesting perspectives on how I would use keto. And he really enjoyed the interview, because it was like his concern with keto is lack of fiber and lack of vegetables. I'm like, no, you eat as many vegetables as you can. As many as you can to keep it. Now, some people need to keep their carbs below 10 to get into therapeutic, and I've worked with people with neurologic stuff, and it was hard, but they did it on a plant-based keto. Below 10, they were able to keep it. And, you know, some people can get away with it just being below 50, but you don't go by the number of carbs. You go by the meters, right? You measure the ketones, you measure the glucose, and you keep, and I said, as much, because what about fruit? I said, my theory is that people should eat as much fruit as their mechanisms allow, right? So if the fruit, like pineapple, caused my sugar to go up to 167, is that a good thing for me? No, right? It has great antioxidants, great properties. But now I figured out the way I can eat pineapple is a little bit with a huge salad or a huge smoothie, right? And so that's what I said, what's different about what I teach is that I'm teaching people how to actually regulate and monitor so that you can get it ideal. And that's why we call it the sweet spot. Everybody gets into their own sweet spot. How many grams of carbs? How many sweet potatoes? I was talking to somebody today. He's religious about following sweet spot. And he said, but he's losing weight. I mean, he's continuing. He didn't have weight to lose in the beginning, just a little extra belly fat, but he's losing too much weight. And I kept thinking low metabolism. I thought, you know, it might be the obvious, like the person who's tired that isn't sleeping. So I said, how much are you eating? Like, how much fat are you eating? How much food are you eating? He goes, well, sometimes I only eat two meals a day. You know, I'm doing the 5 to 6 hours between meals, and I've got to, sometimes I can only get two meals in. And I said, okay. And he says, sometimes I just can't eat a lot. I don't have a big appetite. And that's a lot of the thing with people who are underweight. It's not that they have such a high metabolism. It's that they have a small appetite. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, I'm going to tell you something to do that is against what you've taught in the sweet spot, but we're modifying this and we're personalizing it to you. I want you to eat every 3 hours. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh. I said, and I want you to have fat at every meal. Good fat, not oil, but whole food fat. You know, avocado, coconut, nuts, seeds. And he said, oh, I buy those sprouted nuts. It's perfect. Absolutely perfect. So I said, every 3 hours. Okay. But it's still, you have to stop at 3 hours before bed. Then he said, I go dancing at night. And by the time I get home from dancing, it's late. I mean, these dance classes. So it's midnight. Like, sounds really crazy, but goes out dancing. Maybe it's like one of those dance party type things, not a dance class, you know, like you go line dancing or whatever. And he said, should I eat? I'm like starving at that time. I said, try the three meals every 3 hours. And then right before, like an hour before you go dancing, I want you to have a solid something, whether it's, you know, a dip, a fat kind of like a raw sprouted nuts and seed dip or avocado with some veggie sticks, something that's going to give you energy to sustain you through that exercise. And so he's like, great. So I can't wait to hear how it goes. But, you know, it's really just, we have our guidelines, but we have real people.
Yeah.
Right? And we have to modify the guidelines based on the real people. I was like, it's really clear this guy had to eat more often because he can't eat much. I mean, how much can you eat at one sitting if you're every 5 hours and you have a huge, you know, metabolism? No. Okay. So anyway, that's what, you got the chart. Good. Thank you. So there's so much to this. And that's why I feel so strongly about, sometimes you may get caught up in like, this stuff's too in depth. Why do I need to learn this? You know what? I've cut down what I learned to like a fraction of it and got rid of the minutia. So you don't have to learn every little point on the liver. Like, what are all the liver lobes about? And why do you need to name them? You don't. You need to know function. I'm all about learning the function. And so that when I want you, when you get through this program, to start to see biochemical pathways in the air when you start to think about things. And that's what I do. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, people look at me like, what are you pointing to? But I'm thinking about their fats and they're telling me something. I'm going, oh, you might have a B3 deficiency, you know, or I'm going like this in the Krebs cycle, you know. That's the kind of thing you want to be able to think about because you want to be a detective. You don't need to, you need to know the anatomy, gross anatomy, not microscopic anatomy, right? You need to understand how these things work. How does the kidney filter? That's an important thing to know when you hear a word like glomerular nephritis. You want to know what that is. You want to know what the heck is a glomerula. What is this thing that's inflamed, right? You want to know what it is, right? You want to understand that. What's an alveoli? What are those things? But you don't need to know every little, I hated that part. I hated the anatomy where we had to know all the little pieces. It's like, who cares? I'll look it up. If I need to know, if I need to know what this bump is called over here because I think somebody broke it, I'll look it up. I had the arm break and it was at the capitellum. I didn't remember what a capitellum was, but until I saw it broken on my thing and it was in the wrong place, I'm like, what is that thing again? Capitellum. Oh, yeah. But you don't need that in your day-to-day understanding with people. But in order to help them, like with Rich, it was like, okay, this is what we need to do for you. It's not, you don't have to follow the rules exactly. This is what I want you to do instead. Right? So I want you to be flexible enough, but have structure and have the understanding of how it works. And you're going to be able to help so many people. Yeah. That makes sense? Good? Cool.
That's like, it was nice hearing Mike Muxel talk about this the other day too. I do a type of ketogenic because I need for those fats, but I also have a tendency towards a fatty liver.
Right. So, that's a problem.
Yeah. And so, again, it's like asking myself, what do I need? And, you know, and that's what we can do also with our clients is empower them to know, they know what they need. You know,
they know it on a body level, but they don't in their brain. And that's what they,
right. Because they've not been taught that. They've been taught to trust somebody else.
That's right.
And they might say, well, I don't know. I really want to eat that sugar. It's like, okay, that might be, you know, that surface emotional part that's saying, yeah, this is what I want. But when you really sit down, you know, I had my own sugar binges, which didn't help before I started the fast. But the thing is that my body actually hated it. And this is just, again, my own woo-woo stuff for the year of 2018. 2018 is going to ask a lot of us, and we need to really have a lot of self-love for 2018. I was scared, and so I was numbing myself out with sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And then my friend had her brain aneurysm, which was like a slap in the face. And that's when I started my own fast and realized my own self-love needs to be healthy. And
for you to help and love other people purely.
Right.
But you're clogged with not feeling well. It's hard to give. It's really hard to give. So we have to be these vessels of, you know, love and support and whatever you need to be able to be there. Right. Yep. So you felt like I need to fast. I need to clean out.
Yep.
To do that. And yep. I think it's a great thing to do.
Yeah. But that's the conversation, is recognizing, yeah, you think your body wants sugar. What you really want to do is you're protecting yourself.
Protecting yourself from feeling.
From feeling, right. So those are the conversations we have with our clients, because my body really craves leafy greens and healthy and all that stuff.
Mine does too. I mean, every time I'd go, you know, in the refrigerator for some, I don't know why I would go in the refrigerator, get something out for somebody else or whatever, I'd be seeing these big boxes of leafy greens and going, I want to eat those. I want to eat those, right? Yeah. Yeah. And when you clean out and you fast or you cleanse in some way, it cleans your palate so that you really crave the foods that you need.
Well, and that's why doing tongue scraping when you're...
I do that every day, twice a day, three times a day.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Good. So what else? Oh, Lynn says she ordered the book. Somebody said still waiting for results. I'm not sure what. The 23andMe. Valerie's mother just sent in. Mother and I just sent in. Great. Can't wait to see that. Send it on in. Yeah, and you have access to a program called Brain. Hopefully they have we don't know anymore. Things are crazy because we're doing the transition. So have you seen it, the Brain program? But that talks a lot about the neurotransmitters on the other side. So even though you don't have open all the modules in Mastery on the practitioner side, we do give you access to all the modules on the other side. I'm assuming it should be working. But there'll be a little bit of craziness as we transition. We're hoping that by the end of it has to be by the end of January, we'll be transitioned over to the new one and make sure everybody has what they need. And what we're going to ask everybody to do is log in and check, make sure that you have everything you need. I asked my team to just grab some random people, look to see what they have on the current site, and then log into the other site as them, and then see if everything's there. So we're going to do spot checking that way. Who knows, you know, if you can catch everything that way, but it's going to be a much quicker and much nicer site. Let's see. Okay. So, good, you found it. That's the Michael Schmidt book, The Healing Childhood Ear Infections. Great book. Thank you. What else? The Dario I have, and it works fairly well. There ain't nothing as good as this one. This is so consistent, so consistent. And I have multiple units. Probably have 4 or 5 of these. I'm not going to run out of unit, but I'm going to run out of strips. But they're so consistent and the others aren't. Now, this one, this Precision Extra, which is the ketone meter, also has glucose testing. And I just ordered a set of glucose strips to test it. And then I also ordered something that one of our ERC clients told me about called the Keto Mojo. And the problem with the keto strips is they're expensive. Now, they came down. When I first bought this and bought the strips, they were like $2.50 a strip. So you do them really carefully. It came down to like $1.70 or something when I ordered the next batch. The Keto Mojo, they're under $1. And it has, so I'll try it. And, you know, I just want to see, I'll try these side by side. You know, I do all that experimentation. And then I'll add whatever is good to the chart that we have of the good meters. But Dario was one of the top ones. The downside of it is the strips are a little more expensive than some of the others. I was really trying for glucose meters that the strips were 25 cents or less each.
What was the one you were showing before? Was that your True Results or?
Oh, this is my True to Go.
True to Go.
The best one. It just snaps on top of the bottle of strips. I love this one. Yeah, there are others. You know, I'm sure I tested last Christmas break. I spent the week poking fingers and tested 10 meters and tested them in the 5 times in a row test and after meals. And I must have poked my fingers 500 times. I mean, I went through a lot of test strips and I came up with the chart. Some of the meters got thrown in the trash. They were that bad. Like literally that bad. You test it once and it'd be 98. You test it again, it was 140. Tested, and somebody was at Shine and she was like, I need a meter. She's from Canada and it's harder to get them in Canada. I said, well, you can have this one, but I don't know that you're going to, maybe you'll find it more accurate than I gave her a bunch of test strips. She took it home to the hotel, back to the hotel room and played with it. She came back and gave it back to me. Mm-hmm. She says, nope. It's just not there. So it's trash. Some of them are less accurate. Like what I really look for to see if a meter is accurate is I'll do 5 times in a row, like within the 5 minutes at the most, 5 times in a row. And if those numbers are more than 10% off, that thing's not working properly. And then you expect a little margin of error, right? If I test this 5 times in a row, I'm going to get, you know, 81, 83, 81, 79, you know, it's going to be, but it's all in that same cluster. The others were not as accurate. You know, when you go from 90 to 140.
That's terrible.
It's awful. It's awful. So I'll see how the Precision Extra is. When I get those strips, I should be getting them any day. And the other one's supposed to be coming any day. But Dario was good. It was reasonable. It was definitely better than some. What I found was a lot of them measure about 10 points higher than this one. And this one matches up with the blood test. And that's what a couple of people said. They went and tested it right before and it worked. And oh, that's what this guy that told me about the Keto Mojo. He said he was so frustrated with his meter because it was so inconsistent. And he said, now he's getting the readings. They're consistent. They're more in line with what he's expecting and he liked it. So I figured I'd buy one and see.
That's what Pompa recommends.
The Keto Mojo. Okay, cool. Is that what you have?
No, I have the Precision Extra.
Yeah, the Precision Extra, yeah.
I mean, I don't do multiple times in a row, so I don't know how accurate it is, but it seems pretty good.
Okay, and you do it for both, glucose and?
Yeah, I get the keto strips from a drugstore in Canada because they're cheaper. I don't know how much they are, but I know they're a lot cheaper than here.
Oh, really? And how do you find it?
Someone told me about it.
So do you order online?
Yeah, Universal Drugstore.
Drugstore. Okay, I'll check it out. Yeah. Because I'm going to need more strips for it in order to test it side by side with the other one.
Yeah, they're cheaper, a lot cheaper. So
yeah, because the first time I ordered them, they were $2.50 a strip. And I'm like, I waited a long time before I even tested them because I didn't want to get addicted to testing my ketones and spend a fortune.
I know. That's expensive. But I might try that Keto Mojo. I might switch.
I thought, you know, the amount of savings, if you're going to do it, if I'm going to do fasting and do, and I'm going to keep myself, I'm going to see how I can keep my ketones, at least in that nutritional ketosis range, I'm going to need at least one a day to work with it. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys, this has been fun. Did you enjoy it as much as I did? Do you see I had fun? This was cool. I love this just like discussing stuff all over the place. And we went from ketogenic to fasting and we started with infectious stuff, chronic. We had the coughing. I mean, we had so many discussions. Anybody have any last question before I say goodnight and do my boring stuff like editing videos? Panic Jeans. Yes. Has anybody read Dirty Jeans? I know Janine, you signed up for it because I've seen you on their thing. I haven't read it yet. Have you read it?
Must be good.
Okay, open. Let me see. I bought the course because it was a no-brainer. It was like you can buy the book and the course for like $57. I was like, okay, I bought it. That's probably when you bought it. And yeah. I haven't looked at it yet because I haven't had time.
It comes out January 30th.
January 30th. But the course is out, so.
Yeah, I've done about half the course.
Okay, is it good?
Yeah, it's just kind of the basics, I think, to prepare you for the book.
Okay.
So, and then, you know, it's Facebook. You know, there's tons of info in there.
Yeah, I saw
everybody discussing. I mean, they know more than me.
Some of them are practitioners because I posted in there and people were coming back. And somebody asked about that MTRR.
Yeah. Oh, and she tagged me in some other summit. She like nailed me, you know, like get it from Dr. Rita Marie. And finally, in this group, you replied to her. I'm like, I gave you the link because I gave her the reference that we have for that NPR. And, oh, I know it was the Better Belly Project.
Oh, the Better Belly. Yeah, I talked about genes in that one. I talked about genes in the methylation summit or whatever that was, the one that James Maskell did. And that's what the person said. Oh, I heard you speak on the, you know, on the mat, but the interviewer interrupted you and you were starting to talk about the MTR and I'm like, ah. So I gave him back some references.
Yeah. There's some more conversations going on over there and I'm like, okay, how do I answer this? So I think I just tagged you because I have my affiliate link, but it's like, you know, once you start answering, it gets difficult. I'm finding some people you want to help, you know, and other people, it's like, it's just not one snip.
Right. They want this or that.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of the insulin resistance match also with heart disease. Mm-hmm. I kind of noticed that with all mine. So I'm like, you know, go to the root cause. It doesn't matter how many snips you have. You still have to change your diet
lifestyle. I have, like I said, I have 8 or 10 of the GAD homozygous, which is the GABA. I have like 9 out of 10, whatever the number is that you can have on FUT, homozygous, not heterozygous, homozygous on the FUT. My gut was a mess before I changed my diet. But what I think is that what I've been doing over the last 30 years, because I decided 30 years ago, I probably have bad genes because there's no old people in my family. I'm just going to do my very best. I started doing that and, you know, I epigenetic modification. It's 95%. Sure, you're going to be more prone to it. And I started early, luckily. I was in my 20s. I was 28, 29, whatever.
Well, you know, I kind of decided today after reading all that, because I'm like trying to figure out my brain situation and all this stuff, learning about the genetics. And I just, that little bell with you in the head, it doesn't matter. And get back to the roots, the epigenetics. You know, I mean, there's certain things I think for our gut, the gut-related genes that are bio, like the, is it PMP or PMT?
PMT, that's the phospholipid one.
Yeah, that one, and then the FU2 gene. I mean, those can give you kind of a guidance where to, you know, fermented foods or fats.
Right.
People aren't cooking with that. Those
right, and that's what Ben Lynch teaches so well, because I love that. He has a supplement company. He could make a fortune if he just said, this gene, this supplement, that gene, that supplement. He doesn't, and I even commented on that on the strategy once, because he said something, and people said, he goes, you've got to go to the fundamentals. You listen to him. It's like fundamentals. He has a slightly different way he describes it, but it's the foundation. You got to get those balanced. If you don't, there's no supplement that's going to make up for a gene. It's got to be the whole thing. Yes, there's supplements that will help. But
I think it all goes back to relating. If you know those, I think it's just to help the person make a diet change. Just like you've always emphasized in every interview I've watched you in, listened to you. And the only one that I'm interested in now, and I posted at NAPT, was my damage to my brain through the prescription companies.
So first of all, I'm going to give you a reframe. Mm-hmm. Okay. The stress to my brain.
Oh, stress. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. When we talk the word damage, it feels irreversible. It feels doomed. When you say my disease, my cirrhosis, don't own your disease and don't talk about yourself like you're a damaged cookie. You're not.
I'm just pissed.
I know you're pissed and that's going to make you change. But the thing is, it's all, there may be some irreparable. We don't know, right?
Yeah, we don't know unless I go to Amen.
The brain is so plastic. You know, neuroplasticity? Mm-hmm. There are people who have had major breakdowns and like parts of their brain completely damaged, but you'd retrain the brain. So brain exercises, there's some really good brain exercises out there that you can do. And I think it all has to be part of your picture, right? The de-stress, the, you know, talking differently, reframing your language, feeling positive about it. The brain exercises can be amazing because they can retrain your brain. The brain can take over parts that are damaged.
Yeah. Well, that's why I went 3 days to the gym, took 2 days off, got back there again today, you know. And so I think exercise is my biggest.
Not just, help. I'm not talking physical exercise.
No, but for me, it helps me. I'm doing something good for myself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's great.
I listen to
music. I want
music.
You to do some brain exercises.
Yeah, it's,
there's a bunch of different ones where you just listen to them through headsets, certain sounds.
Yeah, I have Bill Harris.
Bill Harris, I don't know that one.
Think.
Yeah, that's good. And there's another guy that does it, and he retrains people for ADD and other kinds of things like that. Jim Otis.
But before I forget, because, well, I was in a car accident last year, and my lawyer wants me to get this, it's a brain scan.
Mm-hmm. You know the Daniel Amen type brain scan?
Yeah, but he was a few thousand, and I didn't qualify for a loan to get it. I wanted to go to him to get evaluated because of the mold.
Yeah.
And now I just realized, well, I posted my doctor. She over-medicated me. And then also the physical abuse I had from my ex-husband. So I have a lot of concussions, a lot of prescriptions, a lot of, you know, everything. And thank God, you know, coming here, it's just been a blessing. It's going to make me cry.
Well, we're going to see you shift, right? You're going to change. Yeah. This is going to get, you're going to get a handle on it. It's going to take a while because there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
But this can reverse.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, working on that insulin, you know, I think that's been the big problem lately.
Have you ever considered a fast?
Yeah. I really don't eat that much.
Eating that much is very different therapeutically than fasting.
Yeah. I do about the 12 hours, and then if I don't feel like eating anything, I have the green organic powder from Organics, The Truth About Cancer. I bought a lot of their cancer products because I know that they're clean and tested. So I will make that two or three times. And like I said, it hasn't been the best around here, but my goal is, if my daughter wants to pick me out tomorrow, but Friday starts my gluten-free, dairy-free, and I'll post it.
And you're sticking with your gluten-free, dairy-free?
No, I'm going to start it Friday. It was supposed to be the 2nd, but I had a day late for my birthday dinner. And but I'm there. I have everything in place. Everything.
You want your brain back. You want your liver back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who's serving what, right? Who's, because the important thing is you, right? And no matter what people are serving, you get to say no. And here's what I find, and you can coach your clients on this too. They'll go, I'm going to start tomorrow. I'm going to start Friday. I'm going to start when? Life is never going to stop.
Right.
The temptations are never going to stop. The birthdays are never going to stop. Your kids' birthdays are never going to stop. None of those things are going to stop. The only thing that's going to stop is you desiring or needing to move towards those foods. And I know you have a lot of stress going on, and so it's an escape to do that. But when you put you first, I watch you. You're so smart, first of all. And you're doing so much. Like, you are doing so much, but you're sabotaging yourself.
I did my journal. I sent you my journal. I don't know who reads them. And tried to be just open and honest in that, because I do.
I responded myself to your journal. You didn't.
Oh, I don't know. I have to do something with my emails. It's just too crowded.
Well, here's the thing. Anybody who's on here, check your spam, because anything that comes from my Dr. Rita Marie at, not Infusionsoft, is going to spam, because we had a hacker get in and spam the hell out of people, and it got one of our email addresses and spam the hell out of people. Like, literally millions of emails came from that email, and all the ISPs shut us down and put us in spam.
Yeah, I don't think it's in spam. I just have too many emails.
Okay.
So I VIP'd it finally onto my iCloud and all that. I figured out how to use that. But anyways, so.
Breathe.
Yeah, I'm too.
Breathe. Yeah.
I'm too much over, spread out all over the place.
Breathe. Breathe. You're looking for a lot. Breathe. I'm not seeing you breathe.
I'm breathing.
Big, deep. I want to say, when you breathe really deeply, yeah, I can see, yeah, I want to see that chest expand. You take a few breaks a day and just do 2 minutes of deep breathing like that. and think about all the things that that are good that you have to appreciate. Even if it's just the roof over your head and the chair between beneath your bottom. You need to incorporate that every day. Okay? When you feel like, I got to go eat dinner with my daughter. And I'm going to have the, you know, the spaghetti. Breathe. You go, I don't need spaghetti.
No.
I need a big old salad. And if they have avocado, great. I'll have that with it.
They're actually pretty good about supporting me that way. So,
and you, I would say if it's an issue with family, all of you, just let them know. Just say, look, I need your help here. I've got some special protocol that I'm following to heal my brain and heal my liver. And so when I come to visit you, I'm not going to be able to indulge in the foods that, you know, I normally would. I can bring my own because I don't want to put you out. Or if you want to make me stuff, these are the things that you can make me. And I think if we do that, and then we teach our clients to do that, because that's where they find they fall down, right? They don't want to disappoint the relatives. They don't want to be the weirdo, right? But if we can teach them those tools, how to delicately, politely, lovingly share, hey, you know, if you were diabetic and you went to them and said, hey, I have diabetes and I can't eat sugar. I have prediabetes. I can't eat sugar. I have gluten intolerance. I can't eat gluten. I have allergies to dairy. It's clogging my liver. I need to heal my liver if they need explanations, right?
Well, my youngest just did her genetics. We finally got him in and she got him back because she wanted to know if she has the Alzheimer's gene. And she does, 3-4, just like me.
Okay.
She has the HLA, DQ, 8. And 2, you know, for celiac. Yep.
Great. So then she,
you know, breast cancer,
gluten-free and low glycemic as well, right? Unless she wants to lose her mind, and that's like worse than losing body parts.
Well, it's funny. She mentioned that the other day, and, you know, she thought it was just her stress. And I'm thinking, oh, you're only 22?
Yeah. And you don't have to get Alzheimer's because you have a 4-4 or 3-3 or 3-4.
Right.
You don't have to. It's the epigenetic modification.
But if it scares her enough to change her diet.
Yes. Yes. You have to tell her. You don't have to get it if you change your diet, but you're going to get it if you don't. Yeah. Right?
And I made little notes on her report.
Yeah. Good. That's great. I know somebody whose both mom and dad had 4-4. They had both had dementia already. She had a 4-4. The mom and dad didn't do the test, but she had a 4-4. Mom and dad already had dementia. She was freaked out. And I said, you don't have to be freaked out. Here's what you do. She's in her mid-50s. She's going back to get her master's degree in, she already has a master's in neuroscience. She's going for it in, I can't remember what she is, microbiology or something. I can't remember which it is, but she's going back for another master's. So
well,
she
you know
has lost it, right?
On Christmas, because I'm always, they know I'm always into organic. We're saying this and that, GMOs. I had asked my daughter if she had gotten a new doctor, because she went from pediatrician to her doctor. And she turned around after they were making fun of me. She said, Mom, why do I need a doctor? I have you. And
aww, I was like, sweet!
It was sweet, but it was kind of sarcastic because, you know, before I could never remember her friends' names, and it really broke her heart. You know, but now they know how much I really am studying and trying and have an answer for everything. Or if I don't have it, I find it.
Yes. And, awesome. So your brain has gotten way better, right? It's improved already, and it's going to get even better.
After I met you, 3 months later, my psychiatrist, you know, we sat for 2 hours. I would bring him your one paper on the 5 missed labs. I took him that. He goes, let me see that. He's actually opening up clinics now that have psychiatrists, labs, and everything, so he can run the MTHFR, so he can do things. And he started sharing his other clients who wanted off medication to do the coconut oil, frankincense oil, you know, greens. And
look what you did. I mean, you influenced this. Not only did you influence it, look at how many thousands of people yeah. or tens of thousands even over the course of his practice. And you're responsible for that. So yeah. you're already making amazing contribution.
Yeah. You're going to want to listen to the vital health topic tomorrow. It's
I got to write it.
Yeah, that's tomorrow morning, right?
So yeah, well, it's noon for us, so it's 10 for you. Yeah, so it's on brain fog and memory loss. So, yeah.
Yeah. And she's probably heard it all already because it's a, you know, it's a consumer level product. So
I always pop in anyway. I always learn something new from you.
What's that? You always learn.
I always learn
something new from me. Sometimes things come through me and I'm like, where'd that come from? Better write it down. Yeah. I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago and I said, you know what? I think that genetic testing gives us knowing your genetics. I can't remember exactly how I said it. I said it beautifully. I'm glad I wrote it down. But it was like something about genetic testing. So
how much you can abuse your body.
Use your body, right? So you have these perfect genes, then you might get away with it. But for most of us, we look at it and go, not a lot of abuse allowed here, right? Yeah. Good. All right, I'm going to let everybody go. I have two presentations to write for tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh, it's 8 o'clock.
It's 10 o'clock.
Oh, 10 for you.
And a video to edit.
I know, you and Lynn are up late. I can't believe it.
She's the one who's up late.
I'm trying not to, so I'm going to hurry.
By midnight, I'm like, forget it. Nope, I'm done.
The other day, I was like about to go to bed. It was 1:45. I'm like, oh, it's still early. And I went, it's not early. It's not early. It's 1:45. Go to bed.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much. You. I'm really glad you're here. Open up your lines and say goodbye so I can hear your voices.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Later, Valerie.
Thank you so much. Bye. This was awesome.
Super. Thank you. Bye.
Good night.
Okay, good night. I'm going to find the button that makes it go. There it goes. Bye.